about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
And I believe that what's about to follow is really going to amaze. So I suggest you sit back and enjoy your front row seat.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah! Woo!
And we're back. We are now ready to heighten our foreplay to petting. The male may fondle her back and arms. The female, if she is so inclined, may latch on to his honker.
Want some pudding?
CBS cares.
Oh! Our feature presentation.
It's funny, none of us were happy about that.
We're about getting blazed?
No, we were screaming. He's playing along with his little game.
Yes.
All right, I loved it. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 30th of May.
What was that little song we were playing right before the open? Is that the new Pepper song?
Yeah, that's what I was asking. Yeah. I like
Lisa's,
that.
Lisa's new favorite song, the one that has all those that rhythmic thrusting at the end. You guys notice that? The song ends with,
Yeah, it's called F Around.
I would rather hear you never do that again.
I would rather have never heard that. It's a terrible way to start the show. Wow.
Lisa, I kind of like it. It's my new summer favorite song.
With her filthy mind, making that a ringtone, I'm sure. All right. Welcome into the Kevin Bean Show. As the monkey mentioned, it is a new program for a Thursday. Let's do a little bit of here's how the story ends, shall we?
How does the story end, my friend? Friend, how does the story end?
It's going to be a tough one because there's not going to be a lot for you to go on, but let's take a stab at it anyway because I think it is an interesting story. Right. A Southern California woman named Marion Shurtleff. Marion Shurtleff, 75 years old, lives in San Clemente. She recently purchased an old Bible from a used bookstore in her neighborhood.
How does the story end?
Read it and found it fascinating.
Not yet.
Oh.
So she buys this Bible. Again, 75-year-old woman in San Clemente buys a Bible, used bookstore. She notices there are some folded sheets of yellowed paper tucked inside the pages. For 2 months, she didn't pay any extra attention to the pages, didn't even open them, saw that there was papers in there, didn't care, didn't think about it. Well, she finally took the time to unfold the letter. And according to this interview with CBS2 Los Angeles, what she saw made her shake.
Made her shake?
What was the yellowed paper that was in the Bible that she bought from the used bookstore in her neighborhood in San Clemente?
How does the story end?
Made her shake. Now, made her shake with fear? Can you give us any hints on that? Excitement?
Yes, I think she shook because she was... here's a hint for you. She was stunned, as I was when I read the article, to find who wrote what was on the paper in the Bible.
Jesus?
Well, that's an outstanding guess, Lisa.
That's really at the top of the food chain when it comes to the Bible.
I would say I would shake. That would be just amazing.
Wouldn't it, though?
Jesus is a great guess. And by the way, I'll give something else away here. By a process of elimination, I thought the Pope...
But that was going to be my guess just right after she said Jesus. Not
yeah, because you're a religious person. You buy a Bible. There's a message in there from, you know, John Paul II or something. Imagine, but that would blow your mind. You'd wonder how something like that happened, right?
So it's not the Pope.
But it's not the Pope.
Farrah Abramson?
An excellent guess, Kevin. I'm sorry, not Farrah Abramson.
Who could it be that she shook? Was it just somebody famous that owned it? You know, like a president or some actor or...
I'm going to say no. Okay. It was not a famous person.
Because then and I was going like Charlton Heston.
Because that makes it even it even weirder.
How does the story end?
Well, if they're not famous, then why would she shake?
Because it has to be the content
of the letter. Oh,
so we were going down the wrong road with who it may have been.
Oh.
The Pope or Jesus, right?
I opened it up and I instantly saw my own name. I recognized my handwriting. I hollered. I started shaking. I cried. I had goosebumps. The woman had found an old essay that she had written to earn a Girl Scouts merit badge 65 years ago an essay that she wrote in her hometown of Covington, Kentucky, more than 2,000 miles away.
That's pretty weird.
That's
no
super
kidding.
Weird.
But it's she no was, Jesus.
No, it's no Jesus. She was 10 when she wrote the essay in Kentucky. 65 years later, she buys a Bible at a used bookstore in her neighborhood in San Clemente, California, and the paperwork is in that Bible.
And then did she hear,
"You are all going to die tonight"?
It doesn't. I don't think it went ugly there.
Oh.
That's stunning.
What are the chances?
For Shirtliff, a cancer survivor, the discovery has launched her into an investigation to find the original, the previous owner of the Bible. She has a lot of questions for that person. How did it get here? I think there's got to be a tie to this person who kept this. Why did they keep it? Maybe it was sent to me for a reason. Maybe that person should be on in my life.
You don't have that much time left, woman. Maybe other other topics would interest you.
I just can't even imagine the series of circumstances that would have happened that would make that Bible end up in her neighborhood 65 years later with the paperwork still in it. It just, it does kind of blow my mind.
That's how this story ends.
But Jesus was a good guess, Lisa.
Thank you.
Would have been a better story.
I'll
give you that.
Sure would. Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
Don't take this the wrong way, but f*** you.
Listen, I hear that every day. No worries. That's the hello around here.
That's true.
Brand new internet roundup.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
On the program for you today, got some good videos. We have Kevin Rahm, who is one of the stars of Mad Men in the studio.
Yeah, he plays Ted.
He's great.
He's terrific on that show.
Yeah. He's terrific. We also have Dr. Drew on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
We have comedian Jay Moore.
Love Jay.
How about that? Always funny. Always funny. And we have to talk about Bean's addiction to the bear in the tree yesterday.
Wait till you hear how that ended, Kevin.
Oh, I can't wait.
Wait till you hear what happened.
That's going to be crazy when I hear
so
what ended.
Yeah, so many possibilities.
Jesus came and let the bear out of the tree.
And the Pope was already there?
Right.
So that's coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show, plus your chance to qualify for Destination 2 of K-Rock's Festival Flyaway, which is the Rock Rector Festival.
I think it's the Werchter. I don't think we've wrecked her yet. I think we're just working her right now. We're gonna wreck her later.
When we get there. In Brussels, Belgium. So we'll get a chance to qualify for that. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
The good news is Ralph is not taking days off anymore. Well, full days off. He's just taking half days off. So he will be in a little bit later on this morning here on the Kevin Amico Show. In the meantime, we're taking a look at the Showbiz Beat here on this Thursday. Kevin, I know you hate the country music.
Yep.
And you're wrong about that.
All right.
But last night they did a terrific job on NBC. Blake Shelton put together a benefit concert, a TV benefit concert, primetime special, to raise money to help the victims of the tornado in Oklahoma. And it's so rare to see
a good cause.
Super good cause. And they had all sorts of, you know, it was all mostly country music, and it was mostly artists from Oklahoma. You know, Garth Brooks and Reba McEntire and Blake Shelton himself and his wife Miranda Lambert. And they put this concert together to raise money. And I just want to mention, first of all, it was shocking to see how tasteful and how well done it was. Because, you know, usually they gunk up all that stuff. You know, they make everything embarrassing whenever they try to do something nice. But they really did a great job of that. I just wanted to mention it because they're still, you know, desperately in need of help. I mean, you guys saw that that Moore, Oklahoma on the news. It's just gone.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have literally nothing, you know. So if you want to help, it's a $10 donation. If you just want to text the word REBUILD to 52000. It's as simple as that. $10 to the United Way to help the victims in Oklahoma. REBUILD is the word to 52000. That show was already on the air last night. They're doing a Boston Strong concert. That's going to air tonight. And they're trying to help the people who were affected by the Boston Marathon bombing from a few weeks ago.
But not so, country music.
This one is Aerosmith.
All right.
It's a Massachusetts-based artist. So Aerosmith, James Taylor, New Kids on the Block are all going to be performing. And then some other artists included as well, including Jimmy Buffett, Carole King, Godsmack. Boston is going to be there.
That's a weird mishmash.
It's a bizarre lineup. Yeah.
It's not as good a show.
How often do you get Carole King and the Jay Giles Band on the same bill? Anyway, that is going to be on tonight. It's going to be streaming through billboard.com. And that's going to be happening with the proceeds going to One Fund Boston to help out the victims of the Boston Marathon bombings. It's a shame that there have to be so many of these kinds of events, but it's also awesome that people are willing to step up and try to help. So yeah. Just wanted to give you the heads up.
Do you guys remember in 2006 when there was that sculpture of Britney Spears in the middle of giving birth on a bearskin rug?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was awesome. How weird that was. Like,
I do.
You look at it and you go, what's happening? What is this guy thinking? Well, this guy's name is Daniel Edwards, and starting next Wednesday at the Los Angeles Lab Art Gallery, there's going to be a new one. And this one is Kim Kardashian.
Giving birth.
Well, pregnant.
Oh, okay.
Pregnant.
Naked?
Okay. It doesn't say naked.
I don't know.
I
have to assume.
He said that he was, quote, inspired by the beauty of Kim Kardashian, which all of us have been at some point. And felt very upset by the media's criticism of her weight gain during her pregnancy.
Do you feel that the media has been critical of her weight gain? I don't.
I don't either. Oh, I think she's been critical of her weight gain.
I think there are people who sit fat, you know, just to be funny. Yeah. I don't know that anyone is saying,
I mean, look.
Seriously, you know.
Yeah, I think most people go, she's gained about as much weight as a regular pregnant woman would gain. And we expected that, and that's fine. And she'll probably lose it, you know, when she actually gives the baby.
Here's the answer to your question, Lisa. This is supposedly a, quote, life-size, full-figured nude.
There you go.
Okay. Where's this statue going to be? Is it going to be on display to the public?
If you're going to do that, why don't you... Never mind.
What?
Go with the non-pregnant. Los Angeles Lab Art Gallery is the name of the place.
Okay.
And apparently it's going to depict Kim standing, quote, curvaceous and proud. And it's also supposed to be designed to entice visitors to give a respectful rub for good luck or success.
Now we're talking.
Which I would have done had it been before.
Prior pregnancy.
Because pregnant women can't be sexy. We all know that.
Then you'd get all the rubbing you wanted.
Exactly. This is bizarre. I saw a headline yesterday that asked a very good question. Is it possible for a television show to become its own spinoff? Because that appears to be what is happening with 2.5 Men. Remember back when that show had Charlie Sheen on it?
Sure.
And he was playing a guy who was living with his brother and his son, right? Or his brother's son, I should say, right?
Right.
Well, now the son is leaving the show, Angus T. Jones. And, of course, one of the brothers has already left, and he's been replaced. And now they're bringing in a girl to live in the house. So at this point, it's really, it has no relation to 2.5 Men at all.
But are they? What are they calling it?
It's still going to be 2.5 Men.
Huh.
It's pretty funny that they're able to keep it on the air through all these cast changes with almost no relation to the original show.
That's weird.
And two guys and a girl, by the way, is not the kind of three-way where nobody's interested in anything like that. So
Wobbly
I hope that's
H.
not the direction they're going.
I don't know, Wobbly H. That's all I'm saying.
Sounds terrible.
TMZ has a story on Amanda Bynes. You know, the police showed up at her house and they smelled marijuana, and everybody was saying, "Oh, she's going to get busted for drugs." Well, apparently they could find no marijuana. It just smelled like it.
Okay.
And remember, she threw the bong out the window?
Right.
Right.
No one found it yet. No one
what?
Found it.
Really?
Couldn't find it. Or it was in too many pieces or whatever.
And so she's going to skate.
TMZ says they don't think that New York cops have enough to charge her with.
How about that?
So she may be scot-free on that one.
So the lesson, throw the bong out the window.
Throw the bong. Yeah.
You never know.
Throw the bong out the window is another good country song title.
By the way, it was a vase, you guys.
Oh, vase. Come on. Sorry, did I say bong?
And finally, Parade Magazine does an interview with James Lipton, who, of course, is the host of Inside the Actors Studio. You guys know that show. We had Mr. Lipton on not long ago ourselves.
What He's a pompous
fascinating
asshole.
Guy. Just a super smart
wow,
and
pompous.
Fascinated
I'm
and interesting
better than
guy.
You. I'm pompous.
He is better than you, Kevin. He's better than me, too.
All right,
He's,
let me back up. He is better than me, but he's still a pompous asshole.
He's 86 years old, which is ridiculous that he looks and sounds
it
as good as
amazing.
He does.
Amazing.
But the reason this article is getting some attention is because he says that when he was living in Paris in the 1960s, again, better than us, he was a pimp. He worked as a pimp.
What?
He said back then it was perfectly respectable to go into that business. So that was his job. He said it was a different time, but he no longer supports people buying sex, now telling the magazine, if you can't earn it on your own, then you don't deserve it. Which I think is a very narrow view.
That's what
very
I'm narrow. Saying. Oh, yeah, it's good enough for you to do before, but don't do it now.
Right.
Right, exactly.
That's you.
Back when I could still get it up, I was fine with being able to buy sex. But now that it doesn't matter to me, no, you can't have it. But how crazy that he used to work as a pimp.
That's unbelievable.
I find that hard to believe.
How many people have that job in their resume, right?
I would really like a second source on that.
Today's one. Why don't you ask your mom?
That was pretty good.
That was, thank you. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about CeeLo Green in his little T-Rex arms? He, of course, is one of the judges on The Voice. Very talented singer and actor. Is 39 years old today. Nikki Hedden, the drummer for The Clash, one of the surviving members of that band, is 58 years old today. Let's see. How about Ted McGinley, most recently seen on Mad Men, most famous for The Love Boat and The Happy Days, is 55 years old today. Trey Parker, co-creator of South Park, celebrates his birthday today. He is 41. And Winona Judd is 49, most recently on Dancing with the Stars. And that is your showbiz.
I just thought you'd ask by osmosis know when the song ends, Kevin. I don't have to tell you.
Hey, guys, song's over. Hey, how about a heads up?
Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Thursday. You're about to hate some people as much as I do, guys. They are a young couple from North Carolina. Heather Barrington is 27. Adam is her husband. He is 29. And they're dirty hippies. That's all you need to know about them. You look at them, and he's got that thing. Look, I don't mind. They got all sorts of tattoos and piercings and, you know, the long hair and the beard and the scraggly. They look like they're homeless and the whole deal. I don't have any problem with any of that. But I hate the thing that they put in the ear that's like the size of a softball that makes the ear.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
I don't get what's that about? How could you be any more, hey, look at me, than that?
I don't know. That doesn't bother me, but it sure does look painful.
It doesn't look any fun, I'll tell you that. So here's the reason they're in the news is because they're pregnant and they're planning on traveling. Well, actually, they're in Hawaii right now because they plan on having their baby in the ocean with dolphins assisting.
In the ocean?
Yes.
With
that's
dolphins
what they're doing.
Assisting.
Now, before we hear some details about that, here's a little bit about the great prenatal care they're giving their unborn child.
We have not, for our decision and choice for our birth and our baby, we're going supernatural.
Yeah.
I'm 5 months pregnant now, and we have decided not to see anybody, a doctor, a midwife. I will see one when I get to Hawaii for the dolphin birth.
So that's a good choice, right? It's just don't go to the doctor at all in your first 5 to 7 months of pregnancy, right?
And she's having a dolphin birth? So does that mean she's actually birthing a dolphin?
No, the dolphins are going to be helping her.
Right.
So, yeah, so they've decided again.
And I'll probably be a little over 30-something weeks, so I'll be around almost
like
7
weeks.
Months pregnant,
yeah,
30, almost.
31 weeks. Something
when I finally get to see someone. So just trusting my body and trusting in my baby that my baby knows all is well.
Yeah.
And
lots of
we'll
love.
Take care of it.
Lots
yeah.
of love.
Well, as long as you have lots of love, you don't need a doctor,
these
right?
These two are the dumbest human beings I've ever heard.
They should not procreate.
B, is there any way they could let the other one talk speaking?
No.
Finish speaking before they start.
This is what they do. Yeah. This is exactly what they do. Yeah, I already hate them so much. Look, you can have all the hippy-dippy beliefs that you want, but don't jeopardize your baby's life by intentionally keeping it away from a doctor.
I mean, they trust the baby. Because babies know a lot about how to take care of themselves when they're in the womb.
That's true. That's their they have all the information they need is right there inside the kid, right? So let's find a little bit more about how they decided that having a baby in the ocean was the way to go.
Yeah, we first found out about dolphin birth or dolphin assisted midwife and midwifery out of the Ancient Secrets of the Flower of Life. John Velo Melchizedek, you know, and I read it about a year or two ago, and I was like, that when I first read it, I knew that was, if I'm going to do this, this is what I want to do. There could be no other way. This is the most incredible thing.
There's no other way to have a baby.
That's it. You got to do it in the ocean.
Once you read that book, you realize this is it. It's the only possible answer.
You know, like, you know, being connected with the animal and being consciousness, you know, everything just. Being one, you know, and fully understanding that, you know, is pretty incredible.
What is wrong with this guy, do you think?
I don't know.
With the whole, the being one, and it's, in, I mean, he just, does he, I don't get the people that are so into nature that they're blinded to the advances that we've made in the 21st century.
Well, yeah, especially if you're going to put, you know, another life at stake because of your ridiculous beliefs, which may be true, maybe not, but don't put your baby's life in danger because of it.
And I, you know, I wouldn't make the choice to have a baby underwater, but I know that that's a thing that some people do is they have a baby. I mean, a water birth is a thing. They say it's, you know, some people's theory is that it's gentler for the kid. It's an easier access into the world, you know, to be born that way because it's more similar to the environment they're used to and stuff. But in the ocean with dolphins?
It just seems like that that would be horrifying and terrifying to the baby.
Is this
right?
A gig that dolphins do? Do they have a group of birthing dolphins?
Or? Well, we're gonna find out as they continue to talk about the power of the dolphin birth.
You know, so there was no way I could.
Yeah, and when we read about it in the book of Melchizedek, it was telling us how they've been doing it in Russia since 1979. And they have had no complications with any birth.
Out of 20,000 births.
Yeah, 20,000.
Okay, they claim 20,000 births in Russia in the ocean with dolphins.
Please, can we have somebody double check those statistics?
Right?
Wow.
And by the way, we were talking about this in the office yesterday, and Ralph mentioned that he had seen on the Penn and Teller, BS show that they do, that they did this as a topic a couple of years ago. Couldn't find anyone who had ever done it.
20,000 being
in the warm waters off of Russia,
right?
That's what they're saying. Yes,
In the ocean, actually, and in Hawaii. Would they also said it in the book that they do it in Hawaii? So when we ended up getting pregnant, we were like, let's see if we can find something. Yeah. Ended up finding something on the internet.
Okay, they found something on the internet.
All right, well, nothing could go wrong there.
It sounds like intervention. It sounds like, again, this is just like once you read the book, you have to have the baby in the water with the dolphins. It sounds like once they found a place in Hawaii, they had no choice but to sign up for it.
For a serious institute, and they also call it Puna Institute as well.
Yeah, Planet Puna.
Planet Puna. Started reading about it. Finally sent an email and got a contact back.
Whoa!
And it just started from
there. Yeah, and it was like, well, okay, well, this really is happening. You know, wow. We that's what we wanted, and boom, it's just like incredible, really. You know, how it just kind of is just opened up for us. Like, it's like, wow, this really is what it's going to happen, and it's our journey. This is, you know, this ultimately is going to be what we do.
Which made it even more exciting.
Yeah, yeah, because right then it's like, then there is nothing that we can't do and can't be, you know, be a part of and experience.
Yeah.
You know, it's like really there is no limitations.
Keep talking.
To what you really want to do if that's what you want.
Don't ever finish.
You know, it can happen. Yeah, you know, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, I mean, once they send an email and they got a response back, then clearly that was God's will at this point.
That's nature telling him to do
it. If there wasn't a baby involved, these two people would be my favorite people on the planet.
Well, just so you know, they are in Hawaii right now. Apparently, they are spending time with a dolphin pod, and they're trying to be, you know, kind of all be merged as one so that when the time comes, those dolphins will be around. By the way, they did ask experts about this who have surprisingly said that they do not believe it is a good idea. Dolphin attended birth might not be a great idea for dolphins either, apparently, according to animal experts.
What are the dolphins supposed to do? I mean, what's their role?
I think I don't know. That's a great question, is what are they supposed to do except just kind of be there and chirp? I don't know. But don't dolphins attack sometimes? Don't we see stories every once in a while of a dolphin trying to rape a guy in the ocean?
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of things that can go wrong.
They do seem to have to try and have sex with human beings, and I'm not sure why.
I mean, I don't want to put a one-minute-old baby in the ocean with a possible predator, right?
No, that's a crazy idea.
This baby is going to be born in July, so maybe we'll have some sort of an update. But there you go, guys. The Kevin and Bean Citizens of the Day, Heather and Adam Barrington. Please enjoy.
Yeah.
Our friend, our close personal pal, Jay Moore, is going to be spending this weekend on stage at the Irvine Improv and joining us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show in about 20 minutes or so. Ralph Garman's got the showbiz beat coming up. But first, I think we're taking a look at the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, aren't we?
It's time. We have too many great animal stories. So we put them on a wheel, we spin it, and then we talk about that story. Here's the wheel, the killer Asian tiger mosquitoes. The Brazilian wandering spider, the gang of angry beavers, Willie the foul-mouthed cockatoo, the loud horny cicadas, Ralph, Britain's fattest rabbit, Ty, the tiger with the world's largest hairball. We had to update the wheel, so we've got some new ones.
Wow.
Oh, that tiger with the hairball, I'm dying to talk to you. Could you imagine what that was like? That thing was like 4 pounds when it came out.
The giant Iranian rats, the man-faced feral cat mistaken for a mountain lion.
It's never going to land on that.
Oh, and the dolphins that are going to eat that lady's baby. Just added. So let's do it.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
I get so excited when you spin the wheel. We don't know who it's gonna land on. I'm hoping for Ralph the World's Fattest Rabbit, Britain's Fattest Rabbit. I'm hoping for it today. Let's see how it goes.
Good luck with that. And it is the Gang of Angry Beavers.
Yeah!
How about that? Angry Beavers.
Nice beaver.
Nothing wrong with that. I ran at Angry Beavers. It's not a very fun porn. fisherman wanted a photo in Belarus with a beaver. Saw the beaver along the side of the road, pulled over, got his camera out, walked over to the beaver. Don't know if he said pose or smile or whatever.
Yeah.
Started to take a photo, and the beaver killed him.
What? What? Beavers are cute, though.
The beaver said, not today, mother effer, and bit him several times, severing an artery, and he bled out before he could get to the hospital.
No, beavers are those cute little, they chop on the wood out in the river. They're just so adorable.
That's what this dude thought.
I didn't know beavers could kill you.
They killed.
Now, how big is a beaver? Like, can a beaver jump on you and attack you and
beavers
knock you down?
Can grow up to 3 feet tall if they're standing up.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Can weigh up to 65 pounds.
Dude. Well, now, hold on. Not every man likes a big beaver.
That is terrifying. So who knew we had to be afraid of beavers now?
The animal bit him several times. One of the bites hit a major artery in his leg. And he was dead before he got to the hospital.
Oh,
wow. God. That is the last that you expect when you pull over just to take a hilarious roadside photo. Well, we asked producer Dave if there's any way he can line us up somebody who knows something about this story. And I believe we have Belarus on the line right now. Hello there.
Hello. How you doing?
We're fine. We're calling about the story about the beaver that attacked the man in your country. Have you heard about it?
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, you're the beaver.
That's right. I was beaver.
What? Oh, you're the... Okay. Why would you...
Wait, hold. You surprised you got beaver online from story?
Well, usually, you know, beavers don't talk. That's the last thing I expected.
How many times you did this bit? You think by now you would know that this is going to be the animal other than the
phone. It's called the Wheel of
totally
Bad
right.
Animal Voices,
we
I
might
guess.
Be getting off track.
I'm confused by behavior of giant spina bifida man.
How do you know what he looks like? Yeah, what's the deal here?
I listen to podcasts. Okay.
Well, we appreciate that. Well, what is your name, Mr. Beaver?
My name is not Mr. Beaver, first of all.
I don't know what to call you.
I have an actual name, okay? Right.
What is your name? My name is Ivan. 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 Okay,
right.
Ivan. So what happened with this poor man, the 60-year-old who pulls over just to take a photo, just wanted a little bit of a souvenir, just wanted to enjoy one of nature's most beautiful creatures? Why did you kill him?
Well, I was in the state of nature where I live.
Right.
And the man comes along, automobile, gets out, comes over to me with camera.
Right.
And says, pose.
Right.
And I was, first of all, surprised someone would say pose. But then I said, no.
Right.
And he continued to take picture, like paparazzi, like stinking paparazzi.
Oh, I see your anger there.
Invading your space, yeah.
And so I tried to explain things to him that I didn't want my picture taken.
Right.
So I bit the crap out of him.
With your razor-sharp teeth, the article says?
Yeah, well, look, you try chewing through wood. How sharp your teeth have to be?
Yeah, it's true.
I'd imagine so.
I have job to do. I'm making dam here. I don't have time for a stupid picture.
Right, you're a busy man.
Dude just wants a Snapchat. You bit him like 5-6 times. Why not just once? Wouldn't that have scared him off?
Well, I don't have time for a Snapchat,
okay.
First of all.
Kevin may have been a snapshot, perhaps.
Okay. Well, I have other things to do.
Okay.
And if he wants picture from me, he must pay, okay? You don't get picture for free.
Oh, wow. So you're like one of those costume characters out in front of the Chinese theater there. If you want to get a photo,
right.
It's a buck.
You must give tip. You must give tip. You want picture for beaver. How about throw me a fish or a frog or something I can eat, you know?
Did you explain that to him before you bit him or just go right for the vein?
Everyone knows this. This is knowledge we all have.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
You don't mess with the Belarus beaver mafia, okay? By the way, at the Troubadour last night, they played. It was amazing. Belarus beaver mafia. Get the first CD. It's excellent.
I understand that this has become quite a problem. This isn't the only incidence of a person being attacked by a beaver in Belarus. Apparently, the population in your country is just out of control.
That's right. So if you want to be safety, perhaps you pay up a little something, huh? Or else next time you find your shop burned to the ground.
Wow, take it easy.
I'll burn your house to the ground. I'll burn your business to the ground unless you pay up.
Why are you doing all that? Why don't you just kill us?
Hey, that's a good idea.
You don't have to burn our place as a resident.
You're the worst victim ever.
Hey, can Kevin not speak for all of us?
Instead of taking my money, why don't you just kill me?
we're not with him, Ivan.
You're the most helpful victim ever.
Why don't you just kill Beat is what I meant to
say.
That's
a good idea. We'll just kill you all and take the entire country over. Okay, you might be honorary Beaver. We might make you one of us.
This is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
K-Rock Festival Flyaway Destination number 2 is the Rock Werchter Festival in Brussels, Belgium. 30 Seconds to Mars, Phoenix, Depeche Mode, Blur, Green Day. That's a hell of a lineup, by the way. You can get qualified for that. Get on the standby boarding list at 9:10 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day on K-Rock. Go to krock.com for all the details.
Jay Moore coming in the next hour. Can't wait.
Uh-huh.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Just a reminder.
Yes.
You think, what happened? Wouldn't be surprised that my photo has to go off in the beginning of that every time. I was pushing a button like a madman.
Changed nothing.
Nothing. Just a reminder, Friday night at 10 p.m. at the Improv in Hollywood on Melrose, we are doing Hollywood Babylon, Kevin Smith and myself. Once again, it's our brand new home for Hollywood Babylon. We'd love to have you come out and join us Friday night at 10 p.m. You can go to the improv.com website or csmod.com to get your tickets, but we'd love to have you come out.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Well, it's Friday night at 10. You might have a little time to come out and have a good time, have some beers and some babble. This will be featured. In this weekend.
This story? Okay.
This one's Babylon for sure, because I've rarely been so vomitously angry.
Uh-oh.
Just announced from the people who brought you Jack and Jill and Uh-oh. Zookeeper.
Uh-oh.
A brand new film starring Grumpy Cat.
Yay!
No yay. No kids, no yay.
Grumpy Cat. The internet's photograph of a cat that looks unhappy is now going to be the star of its own major motion picture, Grumpy Cat the Movie.
Does it say whether the Grumpy Cat is impressed with this news?
Hello? Grumpy, whose real name is Tartar Sauce.
It's on, Bean.
Okay. Will be live action rather than animated. Producer says, this started off as a picture of a cat, but right there. You lost me.
I'm out, right?
But rare is an image that evokes that much comedy. You read all of the memes and the comments, one is funnier than the next. We think we can build a big family comedy around this character. You know what? You can't. Stop it.
They're making a movie now out of a photograph of a cat.
Yes. A movie based on a meme.
Did you guys see that meme? We should make a movie out of it.
Grumpy Cat is named the most influential cat of 2012 by MSNBC.
What is MSNBC doing?
Everyone needs to kill themselves. That's all I know.
What is happening?
Grumpy Cat the Movie.
Murder.
I can't wait for Gangnam Style the Opera. Let's just take everything that's just for a second is hot on the internet and make it something else.
At least Gangnam Style was a person doing something.
Right. A song.
Look, and as much as we hated the idea of Garfield the movie, at least that was a character that had history, that had been around for a long time, that had stories and plot and something you could start with.
Being the cat photo has been passed around on the internet.
But it's a photo.
Right. It's just a picture that you write is not impressed on. That's all it is.
No, it started off as a picture of a cat.
I see.
It's still
but
that.
Rare is the image that evokes that much comedy.
Oh, I forgot. Okay.
Oh, I'm listening.
What's happening?
Is Adam Sandler going to be in the movie, by the way?
Oh, I hope so. I hope he...
How's that voice?
David Spade and just everybody and just Kevin James is in it. I just hope... I hope Grumpy Cat has a bunch of crazy friends. They all go to Vegas and then they can't remember what happened.
Rob Schneider locks the cat in the trunk and he's really grumpy about it. They can't find him.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
Sadly, I think I do know. Justin Bieber's white Ferrari was pulled over for speeding just days after the Biebs allegedly tore through his gated community and got Keyshawn Johnson all cheesed off. This time, however, Bieber wasn't behind the wheel. It was... Any guesses?
Lil Twist?
Lil Twist, indeed.
Again?
Yes. Lil Twist was behind the wheel.
What a dumb douchebag.
The same guy who was driving Bieber's Ferrari when that photographer was killed earlier this year. Law enforcement officials reportedly pulled him over as he roared out of the gated community in Calabasas. But let him off with just a warning. Well, good. I feel much safer now that Twist is still on the road. Has anyone seen if he has a license or anything yet? Do we know what's going on?
How do you let that guy off with a warning and all of us will get a ticket?
Indeed. 10 members of Congress are urging the Washington Redskins to change their name because it's offensive to Native Americans. These people have sent letters to Redskins owner Dan Snyder and NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Their sponsors like FX and other influential parties that may have some sway over this decision. Here's the letter. You want to hear the letter?
Sure.
Native Americans throughout the country consider the R word a racial derogatory slur akin to the N word among African Americans or the W word among Latinos. What's that?
I think they make a valid point.
Is that the dirty word for them?
Work? No, that's not the word.
What's the
that's
W word? Word? I'm confused. I don't know what
the wetback.
Oh,
wetback.
I'm sorry.
I am not a politically correct person in general, as you know,
yes.
And I'm not suggesting that the Redskins should change their name, but I do think it's a valid point of conversation to say, hey, you named your football team after the color of a person's skin. I do think that's worth a conversation. And I don't think it would be acceptable in any other group that was any larger than the American Indian population in this country. If I had a sports team that was called the Blackskins, I don't think people would dig it.
That's a good point.
But my answer to that is Redskin is no longer a thing. There's nobody outside of the 1800s sitting on a chuck wagon that's calling anybody a Redskin anymore. It has now become, it has transmuted into something else where the Redskins is the name of a football team and has no other meaning
to most of us. To most people, I think that's true. I agree. To most people, yeah.
You think there's still racists walking around reservations in Oklahoma saying, hey, you Redskins, you get over here.
I don't think
not
most...
Not going to scalp me today.
I don't think most young African-Americans are called the N-word anymore.
Oh,
but it's a word
that
most aren't.
They,
but I think it still is a word...
They hear that word a lot.
I think it's still a word...
context.
I think it's still a word that has some history with that people. And I think that may be the case here. It may not be, you know, young American Indians, but it may be their parents or grandparents who have heard that
word. I wish there was some way to get an accurate count of who's actually offended. And I would almost put all my money on the fact that the people who want it changed are not offended at all. They're just afraid that maybe someone somewhere is.
And that is often the case.
And that drives me crazy.
I think Washington drunkards. Washington smallpox blankets.
Yeah. You saw
Washington fire waters. Come on, there's got to be some other options we can go with that are less offensive than Redskin.
You saw the
Washington
owner of the
casinos.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, how about that?
The owner of the Redskins came out a few weeks ago, Ralph. You saw this, I'm sure, and said, "Listen to me and quote this: We will never, ever change the name of this team." So basically, he was just saying, "Just shut up about it."
Well, they won't. And Kate Upton's furious.
Oh, who made her mad? I'll take him out.
Well, remember I told you that Victoria's Secret had gone back on their promise to never use her because her looks were too footballer's wife, as they called them.
Right.
And then I announced that they were using her in the upcoming catalog.
Right.
Well, it turns out what they're using is actually photographs from a previous shoot that they did with Kate Upton in 2011 before she really sort of became a public
Oh, so they're not
phenomenon.
Taking new ones?
They're not taking new ones. They're using photos from an old photo shoot she did for them and putting them on the cover of their upcoming catalog.
They're great photos.
So she's not even getting, like, a new shoot out of it. She's not even getting the benefit of additional money or an additional shoot. They're reusing some old photographs, apparently. And Kate is angry not only that they're recycling some old photographs, but also because they were so public about their slapdown of her.
Right. She'll never be a Victoria's Secret's model.
Right. Now they're using her as that, and she doesn't even get the benefit of having a little extra cash out of the deal because they are recycling old photographs. So Kate is sad, and I think that means someone has to get hurt.
I agree.
I do,
too. We don't want Kate sad.
No, we don't. And congratulations to Neil Patrick Harris. Not only is he hosting the Tony Awards a week from Sunday, but it has been announced as of yesterday, he will be hosting the upcoming 65th Annual Primetime Emmy Awards on CBS.
Shouldn't they just give him all of them for a year to say,
sure. Let him host everything?
Host everything.
Hey, look, I would
great
be very happy with that decision because he is one of the best hosts on television.
It's
I've
funny.
Seen a long, long time.
He can sing. He's got everything.
Yep. Give him the Oscar.
He can get the EGOT for hosting.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Ted McGinley is 55 years old today. Guitarist Tom Morello, guy can play a little bit. He's 49 years old. Former major league player Manny Ramirez, so I think now he's playing in where's it, Korea, Japan,
yeah.
41 years old.
Taiwan,
today.
I'm being told.
There you go. And singer CeeLo Green from Gnarls Barkley, of course, currently very popular on The Voice. We can't really reach the button because he's busy hunting down Jeff Goldblum in a Jeep in Jurassic Park. He's 39 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 7 o'clock.
What?
Do you want to take another shot at that?
Take two. Kevin and Bean Show. Here's Kevin Ryder. Take two.
7 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Right,
ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night through Sunday, 5 big shows at the Irvine Improv. Maybe the funniest man going. Jay Moore is going to be there.
Yes.
He's here right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Jay
Moore. Yes, I'm very happy to be here. I bought this hat at the gas station down the street for about $5 because I have Ron Wood's hairdo without any of the guitar talent. Look at that rooster cut.
That is pretty rough.
I bought a muffin, a banana, and this hat. Everything was $11, so I think it's pre-loused.
What's on the hat, Jay?
It's California. It looks like something Uriah Faber would wear into the octagon.
Okay.
Just a California bear and a flag, and it's stitched on the back of La Raza. The California spelled with a K and an I. It's weird.
It does look like it was made by children.
California, son.
Now, if you die on the way home today, and
that
God
escalated
forbid,
quickly. Brick, I believe you killed the man.
My question is, do we have your permission to bury you in that hat for all
eternity? No. Comb my hair nice. Give me high and tight. I want that military cut when I go in my casket. Which brings me to my new endeavor.
What's your new endeavor?
NBA caskets. Everybody wants to know, is Dwight Howard going to be a Laker? You know what? Why don't we come out with NBA caskets? Dwight Howard has a press conference with a purple and gold number 12 casket and goes, I'm going to be buried in this casket. That's how long I'm going to be a Laker. Holla, son. And
nice.
Then Chris Paul with his Clipper casket goes like, look, you don't believe me? I just bought my Clipper casket. And then they're really locked in. You can't be buried in a Clipper casket if you got traded to the Pelicans.
That's true. That's a good
Fly
point.
Fly, Pelican.
Boy, you've been giving this a lot of thought, Jay. I'm
not really. Just used to smoke a lot of pot, do a lot of drugs. So when I lay in bed, my mind wanders. Like on the murder shows, how come every time somebody finds a dead body, they immediately go, at first I thought it was a mannequin. Really? Where are you hunting? JCPenney? You're in the middle of the woods next to a campground, and your first thought was an Old Navy mannequin? Because I don't know about you, if me and Lisa May go out camping, I'm going to go, oh my God, I think it's a dead body. How do you figure? Oh, I don't know, the hand with the ring on it? I don't see too many mannequins with wedding rings on, you jerks. Well, then we pulled the body out of the river. At first, we thought it was a mannequin. Why would you think mannequins were in the river? It's Pyramid Lake. Why are there mannequins in Pyramid Lake? Oh, that despot that had that thing against mannequins. He dumped it. I probably should have just stopped at Pyramid Lake. But I'm hot, I tell you. I'm hot. Kevin and Bean Party, Irvine Improv, second show Friday. I'm laying it down.
I understand.
Get pregnant!
This is a new hour of comedy since the last time you were at Irvine.
Entirely new hour. Yeah, I have a very good problem. I have about an hour and 40 minutes of new material, and now it's the process of trying to get it down to 55 minutes.
It seems a lot easier for you to come up with content than other comedians. Some comedians, Jerry Seinfeld included, will take 4 years to come up with a new album.
Well, they suck,
You seem to be able just to generate it at will.
I wake up, and my wife hands me notebook paper and goes, I think this is pretty funny. And in it will be, how come people to find dead bodies? Always their first thing is they think it's a mannequin, and I go, oh my God, that's brilliant. So it helps that I'm sleeping with the writer.
Sure.
And I don't want to brag, but I made don't you hate guys at work? Not you guys, because you're here and it's we're all like family here, but people out there in the real world in office jobs, like guys always brag about their conquests, but
right.
Like when it's your wife, maybe keep that at home because I'm going
right.
to see her.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, bro,
we don't want to visualize that anyway.
Came home, my wife was running on the treadmill in the driveway, just did it right there in the hood of the car. Absolutely crushed. Fish hook, donkey punch. Spit in each other's mouths. It was off the charts. Like, hey, you want to come over? We're having our anniversary. I guess I kind of have to now just to look her in the eye. Know what kind of man she is. Can she go 5 rounds? Or can she get into the deep water? Or is this quick when you guys do it? Because I can't
Pyramid
go.
Lake.
I can't go into the deep rounds. Sorry.
Jay Moore, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
It's all we've been talking about on the show since Sunday night.
Pyramid
did
Lake?
You or did you not watch Behind the Candelabra?
I did. It was. I think I just tweeted minutes ago.
Oh, I did not see
that. HBO needs. This is ridiculous. At this point, HBO needs its own Academy Awards because Candelabra. Don't forget Phil Spector. Don't forget
right.
You Don't Know Jack with Jack Kevorkian.
That's right.
Girls
yeah.
is like a perfect show and the best show in the world. And Lena Dunham is an absolute genius. Thrones, like they've just completely changed the game.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah,
they own it.
And here, with Candelabra, that could have gone so south. That could like just
Michael
been,
Douglas. It could have been a bad Lifetime movie.
Yes,
it would campy just to laugh at.
And it's because you're filming camp. It's right. Michael Douglas, who looks reptilian wearing a giant wig, like, you know, Scott, everyone wants a give. All they do is take. Like, it could have just went south. He's doing Carol Channing. He could have went so south. And it was like this beautiful love story came out from under it. And you're not even going, oh, my God, Matt Damon and Michael Douglas are making out by the pool. You're going, holy smokes. He really does love him. He's not a predator. This is great. That's me. And then I put my pants up.
I was surprised at how emotional it was. I mean, it really was very touching and so well done. It was not at all what I expected it to be.
Yeah, I was very impressed with it. And Pacino as Phil Spector, Angels in America, like HBO is just completely off the charts.
I agree.
And if they want to be the ones that land this new hour of stand-up comedy, that's fine.
Then I see what's happening.
No, 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 no.
That was some buttering up going on.
No, not really.
HBO is the best, Jay Moore. Tell us more.
No, they don't really do it. They're like in the upper 1% of 1% business, like with Louis C.K. There's a new king in town, by the way. His name's Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Now, you're
going to get down to 55 minutes. You're going to do a special, and basically you sit at home and then all the networks come to you on you know, they crawl in doing
all the
networks.
I don't think CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox, UPN, WB, Telemundo, Salvador Gigante, I don't think those guys will be involved.
I think the UPN's in.
I think it's pretty much like Showtime or somebody
Comedy Central
else. Yeah, nah, maybe, you know, money talks.
But is it like a bidding war? Do they go, oh, yeah, I'll give you
maybe between
100
two people
million, and then somebody else says, I'll give you 150 million.
That's it. It starts at the 100 million or I walk.
What about how the popular comedians are doing it? The Aziz Ansaris of the world, people like that, who are just making it available on their website.
Now, you said
$5.
Popular, not funny, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. What about but you certainly have the fan base to be able to sell directly and cut out the middleman and pass the savings on to me?
I don't think my fans are the ones particularly to go on the web to buy it. Maybe they can let me know on Twitter from this appearance. I don't know. I've tried internet stuff, like my own YouTube channel because of the podcast and stuff, and it's there's 3,000 subscriptions, but 250,000 people listen to the podcast, and I go, oh my God, that's less than 1% of people are going from their
that's not ideal
from their tablet and just going, oh, I'll type it in because he's getting choked out by Forrest Griffin. That could be like, no, we don't care at all. At all. Like, not 10%, which is like a bad number.
Less than 1%.
And not 10, you know. It's more like less than 1% of the people.
So what do you do, Norm? What's the answer?
I think
for that?
I'll put it on the television, you know? Right. You know, I'll be honest with you, as me, what I really do like about having it on television is I really love that, like, you cut, like, Lisa May comes home, she's gassed, she goes out to dinner with her husband, and then they put on the TV, boom, you're on TV, like, oh my God. And then you're just in for the night, and it's like a surprise. There's a premiere, and then they just run it ad nauseum as long as they want. I really like that. I like the old school thing. But I don't think my fans are the download. I think I got
enough of them.
I think I got them with the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't want to push it. Like, you just keep getting the podcast for free, and then I don't want to ask them for money over the webs.
Well, you can see the material, the stuff that is going to eventually end up on the TV special this weekend at the Irvine Improv for 5 big shows. That's 2 shows on Friday, 2 shows on Saturday, and then, of course, Sunday night, which I thought was the funniest show. Isn't it Sunday night?
If you want to help a lady out, Sunday I get all of the door. I get the door. So if you want your ticket just to go directly to me and my kids' private school,
right.
That's the way to do
can
it.
Can people just mail you a check and stay home?
That would actually be that'd be great.
Okay.
And you don't have to buy any drinks. If you just want to send checks, you know, jmoore.com, you just want to send me $30, that's cool.
IrvineImprov.com.
I would like it. Go ahead.
Is where you want to go if you want to buy the tickets. 21 and up. Tickets are just $30 for Jay Moore, who's about as funny as it gets. We'll take a break and come back with more of their guests right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Actor Kevin Rahm, who plays Ted, Don Draper's new partner in the business on Mad Men, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, Dr. Drew will be here, too, in a brand new Internet Roundup. Right now, Jay Moore in studio with us on stage at the Irvine Improv all weekend long. 5 big shows. Irvine.improv.com is the address for tickets for just $30. By the way, Jay, who have you had on the podcast? Speaking of Dr. Drew, who have you had on the podcast?
Oh, I don't know. Duff McKagan.
David Lee Roth,
Duff McKagan.
Right. Who have you had on that has been a tremendous surprise to you and like way better, way more interesting than you could have anticipated?
I got to tell you, everybody that comes on, I anticipate something fun. That's why they're invited, you know. But Steve Gorman, drummer from the Black Crowes, That was a lot of fun.
You love him like
unnaturally. Him because he's just it's very natural. Because there's so many comics that come on and they just kind of lay an egg. Not so many. A few comics will come on and just lay an egg. Girl comics. And,
and you're like, Lewis.
No, I was there. You can. You know what? If you get the More Stories app, you can listen to how they take a dump in my garage right now.
Sweet.
And it's pretty amazing. You go, hey,
have you had Amy Schumer on?
Yes, I did.
She's so funny.
Sure. I like Amy a lot. I'm agreeing with you.
All right.
I like her show and I like her specials. And it's, you know, sometimes you get a Brad Williams, a Brian Callen, and Alonzo Bode, and they come in, they sit down, Ryan Sickler, and it's just, you're up. It's gone. It's all, it's just, you let go of the balloon, it just goes into another town. It's gone. Right. And other times you go, hey, do you have any jobs before you did comedy? And they go, yeah. There you go. Okay. Thanks on that one. Now, what are you here to promote, and how quick can I make this off? I would say who blew me away. Fred Stoller had a story when he was a kid. He made up a basketball league because his mom wouldn't let him play outside with the kids. So he had a make-believe basketball league in his house, and he named all the players, but they were all deformed and special needs players. Like there was Globolo, was a muscle-bound black guy with a baby body. Like from the waist down, he was like, oh, yeah. And you can hear me and Matty Boy, the engineer, laughing so hard. It was like we're on mushrooms. And there was a guy, Globolo. I'm going to get their names. Oh, I'm going to forget all their names. But one guy had a frozen face. And he's explaining it in like the most incredible detail. Like if I was going to ask Bean about like the Sonics under Gary Payton, like he would just go, oh, boom, boom, boom.
Right.
Duff McKagan was just in. And he was a lot of fun because
he's a great guest. We
love music so much. So when I say like when you were a drummer from the Farts, he's like, whoa, whoa. Like he's not used to guys
knowing that.
I think coming at him with like, you know, 10-minute warning and you guys play drums, like everybody played each other's instruments, and how come three guys in Guns N' Roses are all from Indiana? Like that's not weird to you guys? Like three of them are from Indiana. So that was a lot of fun.
Have you ever talked to Steve Lillywhite?
No.
We got to have him on, Jay.
You got him on? Can you give me a contact?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Right, good, yeah. No, you'll love him.
Wait a minute. Is this going to be my pipeline for guests?
You could do...
Hey, oh, how about this? April Foolishness, I'm RSVPing right now. If you can roll me like three guests.
No, Steve Lillywhite is one of the most fascinating guys ever.
Yeah, he's amazing. I'm so sick of Kevin interrupting Bean every show.
Sorry.
Kevin interrupts you.
Well, I apologize to him.
I thought you said, I'm all right, Spider. I'm all right, you dizzy prick. Get my drink.
As a music fan, you'll love him. But let me ask you this, Jay, because you have such tiny, as we do, by the way, tolerance.
Oh, okay.
You have such tiny tolerance for bad guests because they're difficult and they're no fun and you know that your audience is going to enjoy it. How do you handle all the sports interviews that you have to do on your radio show? Because those are historically deadly dull.
I make them not dull. I ask them who their favorite pro wrestler is. I ask them how many diamond push-ups they can do. I ask,
and then you tell them they're wrong.
Jeff, no. He said they're just like Todd Glass. Then you tell them they're wrong. Anyway, but you know, gang, Bielsma, head coach of the Penguins, had him on. Ask him, how many guys are going to be draped off of Chara, you know, because Chara's like 7 feet tall. And, oh, here's Jeff Hornacek, new head coach of the Phoenix Suns.
Right.
I said, okay, do you speak any Latvian? And he said, no. And I said, do you speak any Iranian? He said, no. Do you speak any Polish? He said, no. I went through his whole roster. Do you speak any Lithuanian? And he said, no. And I go, now, if you were going to learn one of those languages to best proceed winning with the Phoenix Suns, he goes, I'd probably have to pick up Lithuanian pretty quickly. It was a very...
I remember him as a player for the Suns.
Yeah, he looked like a young Jerry Sloan.
He was so good.
He was good. He said he had 2 years of playing left in him, but he's like, oh, my kids are in high school. I'm good. We're not going to win a championship. He wasn't chasing the check. I dug it.
Wow.
But it is hard sometimes, but I just try to make it super fun, and I try to let them know, like, this is the place to go, and it's not haircuts just asking you, how did you feel when you guys won Game 7? Really, I just felt, like, hungry, you know?
So you give them something that they enjoy because they're not being asked the same thing they got asked in the last 50 interviews.
Right. Like, Dustin Penner and I go back and forth. Like, you would think we hate each other because all we do is break each other's chops. Right. I'm like, I'm amazed when you get out of bed, you're able to hit the floor. You missed everything. And he goes, really? It's been a long time since I saw you be bad in a movie. Just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Have you seen the post-game interviews with Coach Daryl Sutter?
I say Daryl Sutter.
Is he the best?
Yes, because he sounds exactly like Rambo. What do you think of that?
Rambo.
I play it all the time on my well, they drew First Blood, not me. Line and doesn't matter.
He's
blue
got
line.
So little patience for the red stupid line, questions that they ask.
He was raised on a farm with no running water. The guy went to the bathroom in an outhouse, and now he's got Victor Prick Jacobs coming up to him in a fur coat going, Coach, the downtown fire and the passion, wielding like bamboo bend but don't bend. I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know if it was Rambo or Bernie Brillstein I just did. You never know.
But you know what's beautiful about him is that he's fine with just no one saying anything, which is super uncomfortable in that situation.
Yeah.
He's good with it.
Six kids on a farm where the dad made you chop wood. He's Rambo. They drew First Blood, not me. He's the best. And it's amazing that English is his first language.
Yes, it is.
It's astounding. Go Kings, go. I don't want to talk about the Kings. I'm very uncomfortable.
Why?
I
don't.
You
why?
Know why?
You're uncomfortable.
We're on a bit of a mission, guys. Let's go.
All right.
Move it along.
How about you'll have a lot to say when it's over, right?
That's what he says.
Bean said the best concert he ever saw was U2 War Tour.
Yeah.
Which means
I think so.
58 years old.
It does, at least.
Most of us are like, how about Vertigo? That was great. How about all the money Bono raises for Africa? I've never seen a black guy at a U2 concert. You would think after raising $8 billion for the continent of Africa, one show, and I've seen them 11 times, you'd see one guy in a dashiki, barefoot, holding a rock. Where the streets have no name. What is a street? No, never. All white people drinking white wine at a red Solo cups. Oh my God, Bono's the best. I love it. Ah. You think if you spend your life trying to save the whales, you'd see one. Every once in a while, one would breach. Never has an African breached at a U2 concert.
That's true.
And that includes birth. That's right. Breech births. Yeah, Jay I was Moore. A breech birth. I came out shoes first in my new baby Jordans.
Jay, you have to go because you
I
have
do.
A radio show to go to, but we're
sucking
delighted
from
that
the
you
corporate
by.
Teat, man.
How about
that's
the
how it
Irvine
goes.
Improv? Two shows Friday night, two shows Saturday night, and then
Jay's
Sunday night.
Jay's
going to
be at the Irvine Improv.
Lesson.
What?
Look, right, exactly.
I don't like this guy when he's giving out the plug.
Well, what now? 30 bucks is all it is, 21 and over, and please go see our friend Jay Moore on stage. You will have a fantastic time this
and
weekend.
I got to say this, for real, I don't really care what show you come to. Just come. I'm going to sell T-shirts in the lobby. I'm being serious. I got nude shirts and stuff and
nude
shake
shirts?
Your hand. New shirts.
New.
We'll take photos and stuff. There's a meet and greet after every show. Just let's get it on. Let's get it together. Let's hang out.
You couldn't wait to eat for 5 minutes till you're off the air?
I thought I was walking out the door, and then I had to come back and say, no, I apologize. It's disgusting.
I sound like Colin Quinn all of a sudden. Look at Mr. Muffin Mouth over there. I'm like, eh, I'd really like to meet you guys. Well, you know what? We don't want to meet you. Why don't you get some TheraBreath sponsored?
Jay, take you and your hat out of here. Thanks
bye,
a lot for coming
thanks.
By. 106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:39. Let's try and keep this civil.
No. These people don't deserve civility. They deserve the
right.
Thorballs. That's what they deserve.
I started yesterday writing furiously during the show when Bean was talking about how excited he was about watching the bear cam.
Oh, F mm-hmm. bear cam.
And I wrote and wrote and wrote, and then I realized there's no way to keep up with what's going on here because Bean's so excited about the bear cam, and I didn't even know what the bear cam was.
All right, let me explain what happened.
Go ahead.
Okay. A bear was spotted in a tree by some utility workers in North Carolina.
Right.
So they called the authorities and said, hey, there's a bear in a tree. And the bear appeared to be stuck in the tree. So somehow the Channel 8 in the town in North Carolina put a camera on it so the world could and did watch this bear up in the tree to find out what happens next.
If you say the world watched one more time, I'm going to hit you with a Thor hammer right in the
world
balls.
Was obsessed with what this bear was going to do.
So we were mocking Bean and mocking Bean and mocking Bean, and we walk into the office, and Dave the King of Mexico has the stupid bear cam on in the office.
Look at the look at
that
bear. Look at the bear cam.
It was so good.
Because we didn't know what was going to happen. Look, this is the thing. This is the same thing you guys always say about the car chases, the high-speed car chases, is they're live, and you don't know which way it's going to go. Like, what's going to happen next?
But let me just contrast, if you don't mind. In a car chase, there's action. People are moving, sometimes quickly and dangerously. In the bear cam, he's sleeping in a tree. And every once in a while, he'll move his head an inch to the left.
More importantly, there's two possible endings to the bear cam. Bear comes down from the tree. Bear gets trank darted and falls out of the tree.
And
those
I wanted to see
it.
I wanted
those
to see one of
options.
Those happen.
Which
I wanted
you,
to see one
compared
of those happen.
To a high-speed chase, which is 400 possibilities at the end of that versus two. So stop comparing high-speed car chases to a bear cam.
I'm comparing it because it's something that is live, that is happening, and you don't know how it's going to
just
end.
Just barely
live. But we really
just
do know.
Just barely live.
It's the opposite of a high-speed chase. It's the opposite because there's nothing
you
happening.
Might as well had an Apple cam and just put an apple on a picnic table and put a camera
but
on
my
it.
Thing is who doesn't want to see a cuddly bear in a tree
right
I
a
do
a 60-pound cub
yeah.
who is adorable by
for
the
how
way
long?
Who,
for how
for
long
for
how is, long
it's,
do you want to
it's
see
a
it?
Background thing for me it was I just look over and I see a bear in a tree I'm like oh it's cool
they kept the camera Holy on him crap. For almost 3 hours
3 hours
and by the way
Beat is the guy who tells us all the time how unbelievably busy he is.
I have a packed schedule.
I have to go. Are we going to find the show? Because I'm so busy. I have to watch 3 hours of a bear in a tree.
I would like to hear from any of our Kevin and Bean listeners,
by
the way.
I would like to hear from these people.
Who watched the bear cam yesterday. If you had the bear cam going, please give us a call right now. We need some backup here at 1-800-520-1067.
And then spread your legs for the Thor balls.
No, no, no. Look,
the hammer of Thor is going to strike you right in the nads.
How can you look? This is what here my whole thing, Kevin. You know how there are some things that you love so much that you can't understand
yes.
why everybody like hockey for you,
yes.
for instance. You can't understand
okay.
what there is to not like about hockey.
But
because
I qualify
you
that,
think it's great,
yes,
right?
But I qualify that with sports fans. If you're a sports fan, I don't understand how you don't like it. If you're not a sports fan, I completely understand.
And the difference is also a hockey is actually great versus a
right.
bear in a tree.
In your opinion,
no.
hockey is. Great.
No, it's not an opinion. Hockey's a great sport.
I happen to agree.
A fact.
I happen to agree with you. I like hockey very much, but there are people who don't, and it's hard to get your head around why they went. Okay,
and those people are wrong.
That's how I feel about the bear cam.
No,
like,
I
can't conceive of why somebody wouldn't want to see
but here's
a
difference.
Bear in a tree
because,
on a live camera.
I'll tell you, because the bear is not doing anything.
If the bear was playing hockey in the tree, then I would see the point.
Kevin, you remember when the bear was climbing the tree and it was all cuddly and just like using all four legs to climb the tree?
Okay,
and
he was from another planet? Yeah. Are you not aware that bears sometimes climb trees? We
yes,
all know that.
But I don't see that every day. So when it's on a camera, I want to watch.
For 3 hours!
I'm not watching for 3 hours. I watch for 30 minutes.
Let me solve your life. Let me fix your life for you. Google bear tree images. Boom, you've seen it. Move
That's
on.
Right. Images, not video. Live video, it's happening now.
You're right. If I find a video of a bear climbing a tree on the internet, Dave, I get to hit you in the balls with a Thor's hammer. How about that?
I believe there are videos, but they're not live
Here's
videos.
My thing.
What's happening right
what
now?
What possible difference could it make?
Here's my thing. Which call should we go to first?
Well,
technically, there aren't a lot of people calling.
No, the world is watching. The entire world is watching.
There's not even a person with a request that we could go to right now.
Just like me, the world was watching, except for anyone that listens to our show.
Look, here's the thing, guys. You didn't know how it was going to end.
I absolutely knew. The bear was going to come out of the tree. You know what you never see in trees? Bear skeletons. You know what that means? That means every bear that's ever been in a tree has come out of it.
All right, Bean, did something happen that we couldn't have guessed?
Yes. Something did happen.
Tell us what happened with the bear cam.
And that was that they felt after the first 2 hours, they felt that maybe the bear was being frightened by all of the people
they
at the bottom
left
of the tree.
With no resolution.
So they set the police away, said they made the police and made everybody move back from the tree. Then they closed down the camera and shut down the live feed and went home.
They got bored of it and left.
And eventually, the bear came down on his own and went off into the woods.
Well, I'm sorry, what happened with the bear? What was the exciting conclusion of the story?
Fortunately, it had a happy resolution. The bear came down on his own and went off into the woods.
Here's Who could have seen that? Seen You're right. I should have paid more attention to the story because I didn't know that the bear would come down from the tree and go about his bear business.
Here's my question. Why, if a bear can climb up into a tree, do they think that that's a big deal to put a camera on it when a bear could also climb back out?
I wasn't sure about that either. That is exactly
why
what ended
put
up
a
happening.
Camera on that.
I think they felt
what if the bear burst into flames spontaneously, Kevin. They want to capture that.
So they put it on for 2 hours, and we were yelling at you in the office about how unbelievably boring this was.
And you were wrong, right?
And you're defending it today. And what you're telling me is the people that had the camera on the bear
got bored.
They said, F this, and they went home and they did something.
Unfortunately, that is what happened, so we just were left to read about it. We didn't actually get to see when the bear finally came down from
you
the tree.
You didn't see the exciting footage of a bear leaving a tree?
I'm sorry I didn't.
Oh, my goodness. You know what this is like?
This is like The Sopranos when the screen just went black and you didn't know what happened to Tony. That's what happened.
You know
with the
why
bear.
It's not like that? Because you knew the bear would come out of the tree.
No, it's so unsatisfying. I hope Netflix has some more episodes of Bear Cam so I can catch up on these characters and learn more about them.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
We do know. We predicted it and we were correct, except for we didn't think the people with the Bear Cam would lose interest.
The world was watching, except for the people who actually ran the camera. They decided not to watch any longer. Four balls for you, sir.
Kevin Rahm is a very fine actor on a TV show called Mad Men. Maybe you've heard of it. He's going to be joining us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Dr. Drew next hour as well. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
Kevin walked into the office and I immediately wanted to start pitching him ideas to sell margarine. I was trying to come up an idea. Well, it is cheaper than butter. I just fell into Don Draper mode. All right, let's talk about the showbiz news. Before I do, I want to give you a heads up. Friday night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood, Kevin Smith and I are continuing our new home there at the Improv with a brand new show, Hollywood Babylon, Friday night at 10 p.m. We'd love to have you stop by. And
the worst episode ever.
No, it's going to be a good episode. We got a lot of Amanda Bynes to talk about, so it's going to be a good episode. Arnold Schwarzenegger is not just an actor and a genius politician.
He's more than that?
He is. He is a creator. He is a writer. He has sold a drama to Showtime that he has created called Pump.
Really?
Yes. What could that be about?
It's about a man's relationship with his maid.
I don't think that's probably what it's about.
No, it's about the rise of a gym back in the early 70s called Pump and all the characters who inhabit that world.
And you said Arnold is writing this.
Yes.
He's going to write it.
He has created the drama about the gym back in the 70s called Pump, and it's going to be all the intrigue and the drama of the bodybuilding world.
I mean, it could be.
Nope.
Potentially.
If someone else wrote it.
Interesting concept.
If it gets picked up, Arnold has said he will be a recurring character in the show.
Really?
What
now
a surprise.
It's not.
Yeah. Maybe he'll be the crusty but lovable old guy who runs the gym. You need to do more reps. Where's the maid?
Do you guys know if our little friend Mike Catherwood acts at all? Because wouldn't it be awesome to see him in something like that?
It would be. Yeah. Mike would be a good choice. He likes to pump.
Yes, he does. You could give him some mustache growing tips. He could play a 70s bodybuilder.
Oh, sure. Well, though he couldn't get this kind of stash.
No.
It's a little advanced for Mike. For most people.
You have to be enhanced.
Yeah. He needs some more steroids than he's already taking. This is dangerous casting. This is a casting I'm not thrilled with, and I'm concerned, and I'll see how you feel.
All right.
They've just announced that President John F. Kennedy, in a new movie about his assassination, will be played by Rob Lowe.
I think that's fine.
I think
he's a terrific actor, and he definitely has those youthful good looks and that same kind of kind of charm that people find so appealing.
Do you think Rob Lowe's a terrific actor?
I do.
He was on The West Wing, but I've seen a lot of other stuff where he wasn't.
But he was kind of playing himself, sort of a light-hearted. You know,
he's great on Parks and Recreation. He was great on Behind the Candelabra.
Okay. Well, I think Behind the Candelabra, he was sort of doing a pretty broad character that I was like, oh, I see what, you know, it's interesting. He looks great and the plastic surgery and everything, but I don't buy it for a minute that this person's a real person. So I'm concerned about him doing a Boston accent and being in the Oval Office and all that stuff. This is a hard role to play by anyone.
It is. Yeah. It is. I mean, he's so iconic. Yeah.
And actors like Greg Kinnear have fallen short in the Kennedy miniseries.
Right.
Martin Sheen famously played him brilliantly. In a TV project, so it's always difficult, and I just don't know if he's up for it or not. But I'll take a look.
That was my next question. Who's going to play the First Lady?
Jackie Kennedy will be played by Jennifer Goodwin from Once Upon a Time and Big Love.
Mm-hmm.
The movie's called Killing Kennedy, based on the Bill O'Reilly book of the same name.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of success over there on the National Geographic Channel with Killing Lincoln, which was another one of Bill O'Reilly's books. Bill just really likes killing politicians.
He does. Yeah, for a guy who claims to love America, he sure likes to kill presidents.
He sure does.
I don't think he killed any of them. But
well, you didn't read the book, did you?
No, I did not. That's true.
Arrested Development, getting huge numbers over there on Netflix. The company couldn't be more happy that people are downloading so many episodes and watching it. Netflix CEO Reed Hastings
told an interviewer this week that they're open to making more episodes. If Arrested Development wanted to continue, Netflix would be happy to have them. So, we'll have to wait and see. I haven't seen any of the new episodes.
Oh, really?
I have not seen a one
yet.
I'd
be curious to hear what you think about it.
I am looking forward to checking them
out. It's really difficult from a standpoint of people who love it, loved it. And does it live up to those expectations? A lot of times it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible for that to actually
especially work. Something that's so beloved and yeah. sort of has lived on even larger than life in its absence.
And then you expect it to be way better than is possible. I really thought it was good, but I think high expectations make it tough.
While we're talking about new formats for people to find their entertainment, Amazon has announced some new shows that they will be streaming later this year in early 2014. John Goodman's going to have a new TV show on Amazon called Alpha House. It's a comedy in which he will play one of four misfit senators who rent a house together in Washington, D.C.
These are the ones where they streamed the premieres, right?
That's right.
And then people kind of chose.
It was like a pilot test situation, but instead of executives making the decisions, they let the audience make the decisions.
That's a great idea.
Which shows would you like to see more of? Here are all of our pilots. You tell us what you'd like to see.
Awesome.
And I heard Zombieland was the worst reviewed of all of them. That one that we talked about.
Did not do well. Alpha House, however, did. It's written by Doonesbury creator Gary Trudeau.
Oh, wow.
So that's a pretty good pedigree. He draws that cartoon, Doonesbury.
Yeah.
Mark Consuelos, who's Kelly Ripa's husband, also will star. I think it's kind of a funny idea.
Mm-hmm.
John Goodman is always good.
This is apparently based on a true story. Apparently there were these senators who will move to Washington, D.C. from their local states where they are serving. If they move to D.C., sometimes they will get a large house together and room together until they can find other housing because it's just more cost efficient and it's easier.
And it's an expensive city to live in, and they don't make a ton of money.
Right. And Ed Begley Jr. is also going to have a show on Amazon called Betas. As one of four wacky friends. Apparently this is the this
Wait,
four
Alpha
wacky
and
friends.
Beta?
Alpha House and Betas, yes. Four wacky friends trying to make it rich in Silicon Valley with their new mobile social networking app.
Okay. That could be fun.
I think Ed Begley Jr. is a funny guy.
Yeah.
So this is what you have to look forward to, people. And Taylor Swift has a new fragrance that's going to hit the market this week.
I'm sorry, who?
Tadoff Swindler.
Take the bells back, please.
Daughter of Satan, Tadoff Swindler, has got a new fragrance.
Smells like donkey ass.
It's called donkey ass. No, it's called Taylor by Taylor Swift. Oh, that's very exciting. No word yet on what it smells like, but industry insiders say it has a vague scent of desperation and loneliness. And just a little bit of Nazi.
I can't believe I have to change my fragrance again, by the way.
Smells like Germany in the late 1930s, they say, so I don't know what that means. But Tadoff Swindler's got a new fragrance. I'm running late. Today's celebrity birthday is Ted McGinley. He's 55 years old today. Ted McGinley was just on Mad Men.
Yes, he was.
There's a through line in today's episode. Tom Morello, guitarist for Audioslave and Rage Against the Machine.
He knows 49. A guy who watches Mad Men.
That's right. Manny Ramirez, 41 years old. I believe he directed the most recent episode of Mad
Men. I don't think he's ever directed anything.
No, really? And singer CeeLo Green from Gnarls Barkley, of course, and the Goody Mob. Most recently, you can see him on The Voice. He is 39. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I'm going to tell you about a little show, by the way, that has won the Primetime Emmy for Best Drama for 4 out of the last 5 years. Hey, what went wrong last year, Kevin Rahm, who plays Ted on the show? What was the problem last year, dude?
We were off the air for a while, so I think people got a little upset by that.
Yeah.
Of course, it's on AMC Sunday nights at 10, one of the best shows in the history of television. Couldn't be more excited to welcome actor Kevin Rahm.
Kevin Rahm.
He plays Ted Chow.
We were debating that.
Think old school chewing tobacco.
Chaw. That's such a weird name for them to give you.
Completely made up. I read the other day.
It's also a weird reference to say it.
Yeah. Well, I love it. Slats made fun of it in one episode. Chaw-ga-ga-ga.
So we have so many questions for you. What I love about interviewing the rare opportunities we've had to interview actors on Mad Men is that you'll give us nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
We are prepared because we know that there is some sort of a death threat against an actor who reveals anything ever, and they go out of their way to keep you as in the dark as possible about every single episode, right?
Yeah, there's threat of life and limb, pretty much. I pretend every time I do an interview, I pretend that Matt Weiner's watching me.
Because right. he is.
Because he is. Yeah. He's omniscient.
Yeah.
Now, he is, first of all, a genius to have, you know, done what he's done in his career. And this show, you know, is masterwork, I'm sure. But he is one of the first guys who was out there who really kind of put the brakes on spoiler alerts to the point where, I mean, it seems like he doesn't even want to do, here's what's coming up next week on Mad Men. He does everything he can to give nothing away if possible, right?
Absolutely. He talks about that's the marketability of the show, is that no one knows what's going to happen. No one reads it online ahead of time and does their checklist of what's coming.
Right.
I mean, any other show with Linda Cardellini coming in with her arc this year, they mm-hmm. would have been promoting it.
Yeah.
You know, if it was Law & Order, you'd have seen next week on Mad Men, Linda Cardellini.
A very special
right, episode.
Right. you're right. I mean, people die on this show and no one even sees it coming.
Yeah.
You know?
When he died last year, I did 11 and 13 last year. So 11, I was hanging out, and 13, I'm sitting there and I'm like, he didn't have a script in his hand. I was like, aren't you in this episode? He goes, oh, I guess I can tell you. I died last episode. Couldn't
wow,
tell his agents,
weird.
Managers. No one knew until
really?
It aired. Yeah.
That seems like it's an extreme that even, you know, music, movies, no one goes to that extreme quite.
I think sometimes in movies, there's still those
they
red
try.
Pages, you know, that you can't, you know, everyone has their name on it and you can't photocopy them. And it's rare. I think, you know, like the Star Wars movies will be like that, I imagine.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, you've been a guy who, you know, like so many actors, we have seen in 20 other shows, right? You've had
I don't think I've been in that many. I've been in a couple.
No. Talking to our guest.
Other Kevin.
Oh,
other
I mean,
Kevin.
CSI Miami, Scrubs, Without a Trace, The Mentalist. I mean, lots of shows that you get on because you were a working actor and you were showing up and you were auditioning and you're looking for a break. And then something like Mad Men comes along and you probably don't know at the time when you go in to read that it's going to turn into something that's going to last years, right?
Not at all. Same thing happened with Housewives. When I read for both of these shows, it was 3 or 4 episodes tops.
And you don't get the idea that there's something a little better than
on Mad Men.
Like
just,
I'm reading something that's a little better than average.
Oh, when I read the script, absolutely,
you did. Okay.
When you read these scripts, you know you're working on something special. And the same thing happened with my first audition. I mean, first of all, they change all the names of the characters in your audition, so you have no idea what's actually happening or who you're doing the scene with.
That's really?
Because they don't want the 20 actors auditioning for the part to know what's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
So they
that.
Change all the names. You don't know who you're actually doing the scene with. So you have kind of to figure it out what's happening in the scene without knowing who they are.
Does that tip you off a little bit too that maybe it's something special? Or is that normal?
No, that just is obnoxious.
It's obnoxious.
Okay. Right. That part's annoying. But once you get the job and you see,
cool.
you get to do the part.
And they still don't tell
then,
you stuff.
Yeah, then you're like, thank you. Well, I'll give you an example. Like I didn't find out that Shaw could fly a plane until I read the script. And then if you go back, this is how cool they are there. If you go back and look at my office in the last 2 seasons, there's a bunch of plane memorabilia.
Is that and you?
And I was like, oh, cool, a huge propeller in my office. That's weird.
So they knew what was coming 2 years down the road. They didn't tell you.
No, not at all.
Isn't that interesting? Now you had the benefit of coming into a show that was already up and running and successful. In this case, with Mad Men, that's different from a lot of other series, right? But how long did it take before you got to do a scene with Jon Hamm?
My first scene on camera for the show was with Jon Hamm.
All right.
And what
was that like going in and now you're face to face with Don Draper, a guy I assume you had been watching every Sunday night at home?
Any other actor, that would have been the hardest thing in the world. But John's such a good guy. Like, he's so not Don Draper. But when he's in that suit and that hair slicked back and he just looks at you, it's
like,
I think I might have just peed myself. I was like, please stop staring at me. Stop staring at me. Actually, a director told me one day we were doing a scene, and he goes, by the way, you're never going to win a staring contest with that guy, so don't try.
Yeah. Good note. Ted, your character, we're talking to actor Kevin Rahm here on The Kevin Bean Show about Mad Men, Sunday nights on ABC. He plays Ted Chaw, who's part of the new merged ad agencies, Sterling Cooper Draper Price, along with Cutler Gleason and Chaw. At
yeah.
some point, they've got to shorten that
ever.
Up, right?
Why?
At some point,
they've awesome.
Got to come up with a name, right?
Well, that or get a bigger building.
Right. But the thing about what they've done with your character, and I guess they had this planned out all along, is that, I mean, it seems like every week we learn more about you. I mean, you seem to have a bigger presence, and now you're at the point where, you know, you're dressing Don down. I mean, you're kind of taking over now and running things, which nobody would have ever seen coming.
Right? I didn't see it coming. It's been
I don't even know how to answer that. It's amazing. Like, I'm very happy and pleased to be there. That's the most. That was the worst. Like,
well,
I'm going to play every game.
We're just here to win.
110%.
I'm 110%.
It was a little just cliche.
Happy to be here.
We need to take a break. You want to rethink that answer?
I'm going to rethink that answer. Right, we'll I'm going to work on that. I'll write something out.
Kevin Rahm from Mad Men in a minute.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 23 minutes after 8 o'clock.
That was amazing to watch, by the way.
Thank you.
Isn't she something? It's crazy that
love
she's able
work,
to make
Lisa. Love your work.
She's able to make that sound so real.
Kevin Rahm on the in the show here. Let me take that again.
Take and go.
Kevin Rahm is an actor on a TV show called Mad Men, Sunday nights at 10 on AMC. You did 5 years on Desperate Housewives, by the way.
I did. And when I got that job, it was supposed to be 3 or 4 episodes.
Wow. I of course, did not see that because I am a man, but congratulations on that.
We were playing golf at Balboa one day, and a buddy of mine in a cart, and another guy pulls up in a cart, big burly looking guy with his buddies drinking beer, playing golf, and wearing their cargo shorts. And he goes, hey, I know you. And I looked and I said, I'm an actor. And my buddy goes, he's on Desperate Housewives. And the guy just sternly looked at us and drove away.
Because he realized that's where he knew you from.
He had been outed in front of all of his friends.
It's like when you pretend you don't know who the porn actress is when you sit next to her at a restaurant.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Honey, how do I know her? Don't you recognize her?
Let's talk about Ted Shaw for a second, because I thought it was very funny. You did an interview with Rolling Stone magazine, and you talked about how people on the street, they come up and talk to you about the character. They see Ted very differently than the way you thought you were playing him. I think that's funny.
Well, yeah. Everyone thought Ted was – can I say –
Yes.
Okay.
Although, really, that came through.
That really came.
Yeah, I mean,
can I say douchebag?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that okay? So everyone thought he was a douche, and I was like,
can't say douche though.
You have to say bad. Yeah. I apologize. Take three.
You did.
Normally have a writer. Yeah, well, someone writes my stuff.
Yeah.
No, everyone thought he was a douchebag, and I was like, I never saw him that way. I saw him as a competitor who was doing his job, who was given Draper a hard time.
Does that change your way of doing it?
No, absolutely not. No, their perception of it is I can't control. So I read the script and did my take on it, but it was funny when people's perception of him was very different than mine.
But I think you're right. The perception was because they liked Don and rooted for Don. Anyone who's an obstacle, or as you say, a competitor, all of a sudden we have to think of them as a bad guy.
Right. And as we get more information about who he is, you realize, oh, he's not a bad guy at all.
Yeah.
He's actually the best guy.
This is a little bit of a spoiler alert for folks who haven't seen last week's episode, so I'll give you a moment to turn down the radio here. But when Peggy becomes suddenly single, we expect that Ted is going to, you know, jump at that chance, but he just gives her the brush off.
Right?
Did you get some bad reaction from the ladies on that choice?
Well, first of all, best breakup ever.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Very definitive.
Stabbed in the belly.
Yeah.
With a knife attached to a broomstick.
I think
right.
More average than we'd like to think.
If I had a nickel.
How many people get broken up with in the back of an ambulance on the ride to the hospital after after stabbing someone in the stomach? Right?
Exactly. Are you breaking up with me?
But I mean, Ted had already confessed that he was still in love with Peggy, and now all of a sudden he's willing to, you know, to stand back. What's that?
Right. Well, he's married.
It's like he doesn't
stop anyone on that man.
It stops Ted Shaw.
He's no Don Draper.
He's the good guy.
Not according to the fans. Tell me about what it's like to live in 1967, I guess, or 68, wherever we are, when you walk in the halls of Mad Men right now. Is that weird, that mindset?
Well, especially more last year than this year, because now they're getting into the 70s look. But seeing the girls in go-go boots is always a plus.
Sure.
But there were several times last year that I would literally see my mom walking by, like women with the hair and like the dresses, or my grandmother, or you like friends' moms, is like in like double takes, like ooh, that it's just they are so detail oriented on that show. Jenny Bryant, who does the costumes, does an amazing job down to the last thing. My favorite thing so far has been I have a pair of Shatner boots,
of William Shatner
William
boots.
Shatner boots. Okay, old school Star Trek.
Exactly what
Star
you're
Trek boots.
About, yeah.
And every time I put them on, I go dun 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 dun.
Is it tough to not speak like a 21st century person? Because we don't sound the same as we did in this country in the 60s.
Right. Well, it's I say dude a lot. And so
a perfect
I
example.
Usually cut that out.
Yeah.
But they, again, this goes back to the writing staff. They are so good, and their language, they write it so well that as long as you just follow their lead, you're fine.
A lot of times actors and actresses love the fact that they can ad-lib, that they can try out other stuff. And nope.
Never.
No.
Never. They are literally word for word.
Really?
When I did the Kennedy impersonation, they wrote in the era. Like, era.
No kidding.
That was written in every time I said it. So they are, it's
sort of like your special needs.
It really is.
It's
really
written that way,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they, I take the small bus.
Tell me, because he's so, he's such a mystery figure to me. Tell me about Mr. Weiner, the creator, showrunner of Mad Men. Is he a guy who's on set overseeing as it's done, or is he more, he hands it off to his people and you never get to actually see him in person like he's the wizard?
I've actually never met him.
For reals?
I'm kidding.
Well, I used to hear stories
about exists.
I used to hear stories about that with the West Wing. There were people who say that, you know, Aaron Sorkin is a guy who's very hands off, and I always wondered what that would, how weird that would be to not have the general on set.
That would be strange.
So he's there. Is he there all the time?
He's not there all the time. He's a busy guy. He's writing the show. He's helping edit the show. You know, he's there all the time when he's directing. He always directs the 13th, is from my experience, episode. But he shows up for certain scene rehearsals when he can. Mm-hmm. And gives you, you know, like, and comes in and gives his point of view. I mean, it's his world, right? So everything is filtered through him. All the directors get extensive notes on every scene from him. And so more you can have him there to give his, because we're our job is to create his world,
right,
from top to bottom.
Some shows can replace the showrunner and be okay.
I don't think you could. I think without Matt Weiner, there's no show.
This is a singular vision.
It's amazing. It is. It's his show.
Do you think, and I know we're almost out of time here with you, Kevin, but it's awesome to have you come by. Do you think that he has the whole thing planned out in his mind, or is it going to end up being some sort of living in a church in purgatory at the end of this whole thing?
God, I hope that's not the case. I would be so annoyed if all of a sudden we show up and everyone from Lost is in a church. And
right.
Because you know what I mean? The monster comes in. The smoke monster comes by.
Some shows, they're just wigging it. They have no idea where they're going with it. They write themselves into corners and everything, and then it's clumsy. But Mad Men, I can't imagine that's the case. He must know exactly how this thing's going to end, right?
I have no idea. Honestly, I asked him at the end of last season what's happening next year, and he has big ideas, but right. Like, as far as like every detail, that kind of happens every year. And that's why you have a writing staff. You have, you know, ideas come out, but it's obviously, again, his vision.
Do you ever, because it's such a bizarre, it's such a different show, do you ever go online and read all the various theories that people have? Based on sometimes the tiniest details.
Yeah. I don't. I try to stay away from that just because you know it's just slippery slope. You get on the rabbit hole.
Sure.
But a friend of mine sent me a link the other day, and the best new verb came out, which was getting chawed.
Oh, nice. Oh, right? How do you get chawed?
Right? Well, they said Peggy needs to get chawed.
Oh, I see. Okay. Right?
Now it's a verb. But they were shocked that she didn't get chawed. So I'm going to use that.
You should hope that catches on. That's good news.
I already have t-shirts being ordered. My face in a turtleneck.
You need to
get chawed.
I think Megan needs to get chawed. I think Joan needs to get chawed. I think there needs to be a lot of chawed
going on. I'm not
going to
lie. I'd shoot that scene. I would not. Honey, I got to go to work. Love
it
you.
Is just work.
It's just right. Work, I promise. Someone has to get chawed.
I'm going to chaw the hell out of someone. I think we're on to something. I hope Matt's listening right now. I think that's a scene that needs to happen.
That's all how right. The show ends. Everyone gets chawed.
Boy, is Don going to be disappointed that night. The show is called Mad Men.
I don't know.
It airs Sunday nights at 10 on AMC. There's nothing we can say about it that hasn't already been said, but it's one of the best in the history of TV, and a thrill to have you in, Mr. Rahm. Thanks so much for the time today.
Thank you guys for
Dr. Drew, as you know, is the co-host of the popular Loveline show 5 nights a week here on K-Rock. You can catch him every night on HLN at 6. And, of course, he's got a couple of great podcasts out, the Dr. Drew podcast and the Adam and Dr. Drew show podcast as well. And he joins us every Thursday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean program. Hi, Doc. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Always a pleasure to have you on. I'm so glad that we don't have any late-breaking news we have to run by you today, because we've been sitting on a topic for the past couple of weeks
You mean nothing new about Jodi Arias?
I know. Hard to believe we're giving it a break, right?
Oh. Thank you.
You okay? You going to be all right to not talk about her?
Kevin and Melissa, is she your wife? Is she all right?
She's fine. Okay. I think she's going through withdrawals, though.
There is this Arias anxiety. But speaking of anxiety, I believe that's the topic.
That
you
is
guys
the
want
topic.
To bring up. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. We want to get your version of the events of a story that Mr. Carolla told us about. You know how he tends to embellish sometimes with his stories.
Well, it's not embellish. It's sort of an emphasis, a point of view.
Okay.
A point of view. All right. A certain point of view, yes.
Well, we want you to listen to a piece of tape. We had him on the show recently, and he brought up an incident that happened when you and he were out filming a TV show. It might have been back in the Loveline TV show on MTV days.
It was. It's like the early mid-90s, I believe.
All right.
The time.
And here's what Adam said, and we're going to talk some more about it with you, Dr. Drew.
We were taping Loveline on MTV. Dr. Drew had a full-blown panic attack. He said, I have to leave the stage. And I said, I do understand. I'll get your ass back on stage. We're going to finish this show because we have two more to do after this. He said, I'm having a panic attack. I said, have it on stage. Go out there, sit down. I'll do all the heavy lifting. That's all I do anyway. You just sit there. All you have to do is sit there. I'll take the next three phone calls. We'll move ahead. And he walked out on stage. And he sat down, and the panic attack was over. But if I had said to him, oh, my God, you have to breathe in this bag, shall I call a physician? Then he would have gone deeper.
Dr. Drew.
Well, it was a grotesque under description.
What?
Minimization of what happened.
No kidding.
What?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Adam has never been accused of that.
Oh, it's clear, it's accurate, but it was far more brutal than that.
And he doesn't undersell usually. What kind of panic attacks did you or do you have?
Well, I have panic disorder. When I was in college, I had severe panic attacks, and my treatment was awful. I was mismanaged completely, and so I suffered for a couple of years. And I think it's what led to some of my interest, not just in mental health, but in young people's health and sort of the attention to adolescents and young adult health that was non-existent back when I needed it.
What does the panic attack feel like?
It feels like you're going to die or go crazy. People often, but one of the more common visits to emergency room is because of a panic attack. People think they're having a heart attack. They think they're having a seizure. They think they're going to die any minute. And it's like, imagine you're what it would feel like to be, this is the way I kind of feel like it feels. You're out at sea, you just fell off a ship, and the ship is pulling away, and there's just nothing but ocean, and you just, like, you're on your own. You're starting to, and there's sharks around, and you're starting to sink. And
do you still get them?
No, I don't. It's something that comes on 18 to 22, and you kind of outgrow them a little bit. I still am an anxious guy, and maybe it's the 40 gallons of coffee I drink every
day. Sure.
Could be that.
But let me ask you about this, because Adam was, that was a part of a bigger story where Adam was saying, let's stop coddling these people, and I just told him to get back out there, and it was over. It would have been worse.
That's his lore. That's his verdict.
Okay.
Part of the reason I did so poorly back when I was in college is that's exactly what the people were telling me. Some doctor told me to get my S together and take a long walk. And I was like, God, I would if I could. Jesus.
Right, if that was the answer, I could do that.
But let's go back to this episode with Adam, because there was some choice language that I can't repeat on the radio.
Of course.
I almost got in a fist fight with Jon Favreau. That's what had just happened. He left that part of the story out.
Okay.
Oh, my.
And yeah, it was a bad event. He was telling some severely mentally ill guy he should never take his medication. And I said, look, you can't say that's dangerous. And we got in each other's face. And it calmed down, and we went on, and then I had panic the next show. We just do one show after another all day long.
Right, right.
And I had a panic attack, and I said, I can't go on. He came in my dressing room, and he stood over me. He said, what's going on? I go, I'm panicking. I'll be able to, give me a minute. He goes, get the F out there. If I have to spend one more GD minute in this studio, one more minute because of you, I'm going to kick your ass. So get out there. And then he said, I'll carry the show. He didn't say that.
Okay.
I appreciated that. And he did. I sat there like a deer in the headlight, couldn't concentrate. And that was that.
Did it fade?
It always fades.
Okay.
But it was, he made it worse.
He made it worse.
It better.
That's what I was going to ask, is if it would have lasted longer.
Yes. I couldn't function because I was out there in the lights. If he'd given me five more minutes, I would have calmed myself and been fine. But instead, I've got him threatening to beat me if I don't get out there, using a lot of choice language. And it was we were halfway through the show, and I thought, I'll get through it. I felt horrible the rest of the day. Thank you, Adam Carolla.
So you think, had Adam not pressed you, you could have self...
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
5 minutes to catch my breath. No, get out there. I'm not spending another second in this damn studio. If I spend one more second here because of you, you're on the line for it.
Look, the one thing we all know about Carolla in the years we've been working with him is that he's got the answer to every question. He knows how to make the world work, according to Adam, right?
Hang on. Yes, he knows the answer to everything. His point of view begs no alternative. God, he loves to work, because if he has to spend one more second working, he's going to kill somebody.
Yeah. So not the best treatment for somebody with that kind of anxiety.
No, and thankfully I could find it was old. You know, I was far enough along. I hadn't had one in a long time, and I knew it would pass.
So for people who are listening who may still have those frequent panic attacks that you described, what should they do in the event that an attack comes on?
Well, I wish I had been treated with the proper medication because it would have stopped the attacks. Then I would have been able to get off the medicine, and I would have gotten on with things.
There is a medicine that you would take on a regular basis that would stop that?
Yes, absolutely. And it's sort of a cycle. It's kind of a circuit.
Is it called Valium?
No. I would not take that class of medicine. That actually can make things worse sometimes. More in the SSRI category and stuff. But that being the case, it just stops it. It breaks it. You get on with things. It kind of settles down on its own. For anxiety, I later in life got a lot of therapy, and that was to help with the anxiety. But panic is a biological thing. It's very tough.
Fascinating. All right, Dr. Drew, I'm glad you settled that one for us. So it turns out that basically, though, you're saying Corolla's version was accurate. Basically, right?
Basically.
Okay. You can go to drdrew.com or lovelineshow.com for all the podcasts. Don't forget 5 nights a week on K-Rock for Loveline and then HLN weeknights at 6. Thanks, Doc. We'll talk
to you
next time. We scour the internet so you don't have to. Put together the best viral videos of the week. We call it the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, and it's coming up for you next here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph Garman's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
You got a Grumpy Cat video in there? You have any Grumpy Cat videos? That cat sure doesn't like things.
We do not.
He sure is grumpy.
That look on his face makes him look grumpy, even though he's not really grumpy. He's a cat, but his face just makes him appear that way so we can project those feelings onto him.
Right.
So that makes me want to make him a movie star!
Yay!
Grumpy Cat just signed a movie deal. That's right, you heard me.
Yeah.
Grumpy Cat.
Now, the person who originally took the picture of his cat and put it up online, is he going to get money now because they decided to make a movie about a cat?
Well, according to Grumpy Cat's agent, Al Hassis, and manager, Ben Lashes... His agent and managers...
That's not real.
...have announced they've joined forces with Todd Garner and Sean Robbins from the company that gave us Zookeeper and Jack and Jill. Well, this seems like a natural progression for the people who gave us Zookeeper and Jack and Jill to make a movie about a freaking cat with a puss on its face.
Bob Schneider is going to be so shocked when his phone rings.
I'm sure the cat will get a big payday. Because, you know, it's been all over the internet, so it's got to be good.
Right?
Yeah.
Schneider will voice the cat, right?
It's a photo, though.
Right.
It's just a photo.
It's a picture of a cat that looks like
it's not a comic
grumpy.
Strip or anything
it has
else.
Has no body of work, sir, if that's what you're asking.
It's just a photo.
Meanwhile, the singing, bleeding goat is very upset. He just fired his agent and manager because he doesn't have a movie deal yet. So we can go, meh! On the big screen.
That's right.
What's happening?
Remember, Ralph, when they made a television show starring William Shatner based on the tweets of Ish My Dad Says?
That's
remember
right.
when that became a TV show? That
but
was kind
look,
of where...
someone wrote those tweets. They were funny.
Right.
It was something.
It was something.
Right.
It wasn't a picture of a cat.
You could hang your hat on the fact that someone had crafted some words into a sentence of some kind at some point.
Right.
This thing is a picture... And two words, grumpy cat.
I can't believe Michael Bay's not involved.
Why are you bad, America?
Well, they haven't picked a director yet, so Bay still may get on board. Of course, then
where's the outrage there?
The cat will come from an alien planet, and true grumpy cat fans will be upset, and Megan Fox will refuse to co-star with the grumpy cat, and it'll be a big soap opera.
So you're looking forward to it?
You know, at least... Grumpy Cat is filling a void because we've never had a cat that is grumpy before in the history of pop culture. We don't have any sort of cartoon cats or anything that are known for the fact that they like to eat lasagna and don't like Mondays or things like that. So we wouldn't have that. Or a cat that kicks over trash cans. Oh, wait a minute. That's Garfield and Heathcliff.
So they're breaking new ground is what you're saying?
Hey, Kevin, you'll be happy to know there's a new Beatles project on the way.
All right.
Yeah. Ringo Starr. Is releasing a book of photographs, rare images that he had in his private collection of the Beatles.
Okay.
It's going to be called Photograph, which, of course, was the name of a very popular Ringo album, when his first solo album, I believe. Yeah, it's going to go on sale the same day. The Grammy Museum in Los Angeles will open their Ringo Peace and Love exhibit.
Well, let me mark that in.
Ringo's finally getting some love.
From himself.
75 years after the Beatles broke up, people finally paying attention to Ringo.
Do we need this?
I like the Beatles. I know, right. Kevin, you're not a fan.
I don't.
I
do
like
we need
the Beatles.
Okay.
But I am saying, do we need any more Beatles stuff?
Good.
Really?
I am shocked
there's enough
there
Beatles
stuff
in the world
that haven't been seen.
I mean, you like the Beatles. Do we need more?
Why is that shocking? It's his own pictures. I'm sure there's pictures from the Kevin and Bean show, Bean, that you have that no one else has seen.
Right, just because of the interest, the worldwide level of interest in the Beatles, I would have thought that everything possible would have been mined by now. Like, I'm surprised that Ringo got to this age without figuring out a way to monetize his association with the Beatles, like, in this way.
Well, you can pick up the book on June 12th is when it gets released.
I will tell you that I looked at the photos in the article. You know, I wanted to see what they were like.
The original name of the book was Ringo's 401k, but I call it Photograph instead. And while we're talking about music news, congratulations to Daft Punk. They scored their very first U.S. chart-topping album this week. Their new album, Random Access Memories, debuted at number one this week on the Billboard 200 album chart. Sold 339,000 copies for the week that ended on Sunday.
It's a good week these days. It's a real good week.
Yeah. In its debut, it was number one. Number two in its debut, Darius Rucker's new album. That's right, Kevin, your mortal enemy, the man you once put the red dot of death on his forehead. Darius Rucker has a new album out, True Believers. It debuted at number two.
I do wish
very popular country artist now.
I do wish we had video of me apologizing to him.
I wish we had that,
sincerely.
Too.
Sincerely.
Because Hootie's manager thought they were targeted for assassination.
It was a rifle. Long story.
It's a pen. That's my favorite part of the story.
Every time I see a story, and it happens a couple times a year, where some jackhole is out there shining a laser beam into
laser
the
pointer?
Cockpit, laser pointer, the cockpit of an airplane, I always think, God damn it, Kevin.
I'm not doing it, though.
But it's your people, though. It's your people who think it's funny to put a red dot on everything.
We are deeply sorry.
Yeah.
We're sorry.
Kevin's very sorry.
We're sorry.
She said to Darius Rucker.
We're sorry.
Yeah. I had to apologize to Hootie.
I did.
The Nationals album, Trouble Will Find, debuted at number three. French Montana. Anyone?
No
French
rapper.
Montana. Excuse My French, debuted at number four. And then the rest of the top 10 top albums in the country right now. The Great Gatsby soundtrack was fifth. 30 Seconds to Mars, Love, Lust, Faith, and Dreams in its debut was only sixth on the list. Vampire Weekends, Modern Vampires of the City, George Strait, Justin Timberlake, and Lady Antebellum rounding out the rest of the top 10. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. CeeLo Green, formerly of Gnarls Barkley and Goody Mob, and a successful solo career as one of the mentors on The Voice. He is 39 years old. Manny Ramirez, former Major League Baseball player, turns 41. Tom Morello of Audioslave and Rage Against the Machine is 49. And actor Ted McGinley, you know him as the man who killed every show you liked. He's 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Is it Christmas time already? We need to wear our sweaters. Love that song from The Neighborhood. That whole album is real good, too. Speaking of great new music, 30 Seconds to Mars, Phoenix, Depeche Mode, Blur, Green Day. They're all going to be appearing at K-Rock's Festival Flyaway Destination Number 2, which is the Rock Werchter Festival in Brussels, Belgium. Your chance to qualify for that. Get on the standby boarding list in about 5 minutes. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
We scour the internet looking for all the best viral videos so you don't have to. Put them all together in one handy-dandy location at kevinbean.com or krock.com. Kevin, is your default position on most of the viral videos that they're fake until proven otherwise?
I would say for the most part.
I mean, I think you do have to be skeptical of some of the stuff you see because there are lots of pranksters out there, people who are just trying to make a viral video. And that's what I'm wondering if maybe that's what's going on in this first one. It's called Just Call the Police, Baby. And what happens is there's a guy, and I don't know why, again, the tip-off for me is why is this person filming out the window as a car pulls up next to it, driving next to it with a man on the hood of the car?
Yeah, this one reeked to me of fake.
But, yeah, like, why would they be shooting in the first place? So if we are to believe what seems to be going on in this video, this car pulls up in the lane next to this driver, and the guy is on the hood of the car saying, hey, help me, this guy just hit me with his car. Call the police.
And they're driving like 40 or something while he's on the hood of the car.
So, so listen up. Here's what the guy is saying from the other lane.
Call the police for me.
What's going on?
He ran.
ran me over. I jumped on the hood, called the police for me.
Okay.
No, he stole.
What happened?
He ran me over. Just called the police, baby.
I don't know that he's saying.
That doesn't sound right at all.
I don't know that he's saying just call the police baby either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, aren't you more panicked? And by the way, if you get run over, you're not on a hood.
Yeah, why would you be hanging onto the hood of the car? Why is the girl filming? And I don't know. The whole thing is
What's
weird.
Going
I wanted
on?
To. What is going on? I want it to be real now. Our friend Dr. Ken Jeong, who's one of the most hilarious people in the world. Of course, we know him from a community from The Hangover. He photobombs Kate Upton's GQ photo shoot, and it is one of the funniest things you'll ever see because Kate Upton is doing all of her naked posing with the model guy, and like 6 feet out of frame from the photographs is Ken Jeong just doing crazy, despicable things as he thinks he's a model.
Oh, this professional model thing is so exhausting. Oh, man. All day of that, like, two cucumber slices and green tea. But my poses are fresh, right? You can take that to the bank. The fresh bank.
Yeah.
Check out my ass.
You do see Dr. Ken at one point, by the way, apparently naked in bed with a topless Kate Upton. So it's kind of worth checking out that video there. There's a guy named Flula. I don't know much about him. He's a German guy who thought it would be funny, and it is, to ask Americans on the street if they can name any three Germans. And he's very disappointed with what they come up with.
Hitler.
Germany is very great. Name three Germans.
Austria. He's from Austria.
So the only German that most people can come up with is Adolf Hitler, who's not even German. So he's very disappointed with that. Vine, I think by now most people know what Vine is. It's the little app that you put on your phone. You can make 6-second videos that play. Very popular. We use it a lot here at the @KevinandBean Twitter account. Well, the guy who runs Vine is trying to make a 6-second commercial for Vine. Very frustrated because it turns out you can't really say everything you need to say in 6 seconds.
Hi, my name is Don Hoffman. We're making a commercial today just to show how easy it is to make a video on Vine. All you need to do is have your button on the thumb. Look, it's going on Vine, so it can only be 6 seconds long.
Take 30.
All we have to do is just sign into Vine. Come on, please!
You want to go again?
I don't know if I want to go again. You just put your thumb right on there.
Kevin, you've made a lot of Vines. Have you ever had that frustration of not
course.
Being able to? Yeah, 6 seconds goes by pretty fast, doesn't it?
It's crazy fast.
Our friends at Honest Trailers do a great job. They really tell you what the movie's about in the way that the trailer does it. Trailers, their job is to make the movie look good. Honest Trailers doesn't try with that. And they thought with Fast and Furious 6 coming out, they'd go back and revisit the last one. Here's what they had to say about Fast 5.
Now, it's a heist film on wheels, orchestrated by Vin Diesel, a passable action hero, who this time must match wits with a far more charismatic action hero, The Rock, who's jacked up on baby oil.
He does look awfully greasy in every scene of that film. The Graham Norton Show is a great talk show. It happens in Britain. We see it on BBC America here. And they love having Will Smith on the show. The last time Will was on, he rapped the Fresh Prince theme from his old TV show from the 80s, right? And it was a huge viral sensation. It got like 7 million hits. So this time Will Smith is back on promoting the After Earth show. And he brought something, the movie that's coming out, he brought something special to Graham Norton. He brought DJ Jazzy Jeff with him. And Alfonso Ribeiro, who is one of the stars of the Fresh Prince show. And together they all did, again, the Fresh Prince rap, and the audience went bananas for it.
West Philadelphia, born and raised. On the playground is where I spent most of my days. With a couple of guys who were up to no good. I got one little play, my mom got scared.
It's so good. Did you guys watch that one? It's so funny.
There's also his son, Jaden, in there.
Well, he doesn't really add anything to it, but Will is great on stage. He may have to go back to rapping if what I'm hearing about After Earth is true, if it's as bad as everybody says it is. He may be looking for a music career again. Speaking of music, our friends the Gregory Brothers, who are so great. You know them because they songify the news. They're the ones who take, like, the guy in Cleveland who lived next door to the people, you know, being held hostage.
Right.
They take that news report and make it a song. They also do terrific original songs. And this is one of theirs, and it's really, really good. It's called DJ Play My Song, No Leave Me Alone. And there's a woman who basically is stalking a DJ to play her songs, and he's fighting back, and it's hilarious.
DJ, play my song.
No, leave me alone.
And turn the music
up. I can't get another noise violation.
Tonight's the one I demand.
Why are you yelling?
Dance till the sun comes up.
You just rhymed up with up. You're really phoning.
They do a great job of making fun of all those dance songs, because it really does sound like the type of song that could be a hit, too.
Yeah, and the DJ is awesome, because he's just like, stop messing with me. I'm going to play what I'm going to play.
Right. It's like our friend DJ Omar Khan, who refuses to play requests. He hates you if you ask him for a request. A couple more videos of the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup here on the World Famous K-Rock today. If you've been away from the internet for the last 7 years, here's the one video you need to watch that's going to get you caught up on every single viral video practically since they started making it, and they put it together in kind of a parody of that Billy Joel song, We Didn't Start the Fire. This is called We Didn't Start the Viral.
Boom goes the dynamite, Leroy Jenkins, Latin diet, Coke and Mentos, unicorn, Asta, movie, leprechaun, evolution of dance, angry German kid, rats, lonely girl, okay go, no one takes a photo.
We didn't start the viral.
That is a pretty good recap.
It's incredible to see how many of those they are. And finally, as we do each week, our friend Jimmy Kimmel with one of the funniest features on late night TV.
Tommy and Cheech on their knees, going around in circles, f***ing each other's b***s.
Investigators say that was a very big that he had, more than 12 inches long.
This competition is going to give you the biggest f*** up the arse you ever had in your entire life.
And I'm ready for it.
I'm SpongeBob.
Hi, SpongeBob. I'm going to f*** your butt.
Yeah, see, it sounds filthy because they beep words that don't need to be beeped. It's called This Week in Unnecessary Censorship. You know, one time we ought to ask Jimmy when we have him on if we can talk to the poor staff member who has to put that together.
Oh, it's got to take forever.
Because they just have to watch so much TV to try to make what's clean actually be dirty. You can see all these videos at KevinandBean.com or KRock.com, Kevin and Bean page. It's this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
106.7 KRock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:43.
Time for one more look at the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph Garman.
Before I get to the showbiz news, how about some passes to the Los Angeles premiere of a little movie called This Is the End.
Yay!
Beautiful friend. This is the end. My only friend. The end.
Right. Okay.
Of our elaborate plans.
Back to the movie that you're giving away.
This isn't everything that
it's not a Doris tribute concert. It's a film called This Is the End.
I'll never look into your eyes.
Thank you, Ralph.
Again.
The movie.
The killer awoke before dawn.
The movie.
He put his boots on. And he marched on down the hall.
What's happening?
Stay on target. Stay on target.
I'm sorry.
Got caught up in my Doris cover band days back when I was the lead singer for Peace Frog.
Peace Frog. The Doris tribute band.
That wasn't my name, but that's an actual Doris tribute
band. It is.
Band. Of all the titles of all the songs that Doris ever recorded, they picked Peace Frog.
I love that.
Yeah.
You were Tim Morrison in that band, weren't you?
I was Tim Morrison, yes.
Yeah.
This Is the End comes in theaters everywhere. Well, it doesn't do that, but it'll be in theaters everywhere on
I'm
June.
Not going.
On June the 12th. You can see it, however, on Monday, June the 3rd in Westwood if you are one of our lucky callers. Right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call.
Nope. Don't incur it. Don't.
Oh, I like it, man.
We don't need to do that.
Yeah.
We already had a full... Dude, it's like we're watching Apocalypse Now all over again, isn't it?
Saigon. Can't believe I'm still in Saigon.
You have Kevin, to do better.
That's a great tune.
It's a great song. Kevin, even you who hates everything old has to admit that the Doors are one of the greatest bands of all time.
Yes,
they're one of the greatest bands of all time. I don't prefer to listen to them.
Father, yes, son, I want to kill you. Oh,
careful, Ralph. Careful.
Mother.
Nope.
I want to.
Nope.
Nope. James happening? Franco, Jonah Hill, Seth Rogen, Danny McBride, Craig Robinson, and more stars than you could shake a stick at. All star in This Is the End.
Have you tested that?
Paul Rudd is in the film. We saw it yesterday. Lisa and I saw it yesterday. Paul Rudd's in there. Rihanna's in there.
I can shake
Emma
a stick
Watson's
for a long time,
there.
Though.
Yeah. Just saying.
And that's code.
Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Quick recap again on the Grumpy Cat movie. I mentioned Grumpy Cat, the internet meme Grumpy Cat.
Oh, yeah, you're very excited about that.
He's getting his own motion picture. You know, it's a picture. It's a photograph of a cat.
Right.
And now they're developing it into a feature film.
There are people out there with who have spent years writing a script that are now killing themselves.
Guys who went to film school have a stack of really well-crafted spec scripts sitting on their desk that they're... managers and agents can't get into the studios. Can't even get them read. Can't even get the coverage.
Yeah.
Grumpy Cat, greenlit.
Wait, that photo of that cat?
Wait a minute. Does anyone have the film rights to that photograph of a sour-looking cat? Can we develop that into a movie? Tell IMAX to make sure they've got some room on their screens next summer, because it's coming to them in 3D. Live action. Yeah, Grumpy Cat's going to be a movie. This email came in, from obviously a surprising source. Who would watch a show? Who would watch a movie based on Grumpy Cat? Writes these two listeners. What is this world coming to? Now, if Bear Cam Bear got a show, I'd be so in. Signed, Bean and Dave wrote this.
Boom!
Email.
There it is. That's the movie.
Bear Cam Bear. Speaking of movies, released, what is it, this weekend coming out, After Earth, the new Jaden Smith, Will Smith joint?
I think so.
Well,
they
play
father and son traveling through space, and they end up crash-landed on Earth. But it's in the future, so Earth is a bad place now, as it always is in the future.
Sure.
Well, Jaden also has a high-profile personal life. He is dating Kylie Jenner of the evil Jenner Kardashian clan.
Oh, is he?
Wow. Oh, yeah, they're dating. You know how I know? Because, what is this, Us Weekly magazine, I guess it is, the Daily Mail? Somebody's got photographs of them out on a date in New York City on Wednesday. There's Kylie Jenner, 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Dressed to deal with the oppressive New York heat in a sleeveless leopard print dress. Looks lovely. And there's Jaden Smith, her date, 14-year-old Jaden, wearing an Iron Man costume.
Huh.
He's dressed up as Iron Man.
Almost look at a moment of party.
It was a moment of party with Jaden Smith wearing an entire Iron Man costume.
Full mask and everything.
This isn't Halloween.
Wow.
To the best of my knowledge, this is not at some Comic-Con. They're going out to dinner at Nobu, and he's wearing an Iron Man costume.
I don't understand what's happening.
Start your countdown calendars now, boys and girls. For the hospitalization and possible incarceration of Jaden Smith, when at 14, he is wearing an Iron Man costume out in public. I thought Bieber with his gas mask was bad.
It was.
But it's not a full Iron Man costume.
Yeah, that's weird.
What's happening in the world? Grumpy Cat is in the movie. Jaden Smith's in a movie, first of all, and now he's walking around as Iron Man.
Fire beer mug.
That's right. Fire beer mug. It's all beer mug's fault.
Fire beer mug! Fire beer mug!
I was to tell you, Ralph.
It's a hard world. It's a hard world we live in right now.
It really is.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
I got something that'll cheer you up, Ralph.
Oh, good.
To dream. The impossible dream.
Yeah. A little Liberace.
To be better far than you are.
Sing it, Lee.
There you go. That'll take all the pain away for today.
Liberace never really sang.
He's talking.
He sort of spoke lyrics. Speaking of memes, are you watching Veep at all? You're watching Veep? Are you
love
catching
yes.
Veep?
I'm behind
love,
on, but I'm watching it. Yeah.
Love Veep. It is great.
So funny. I guess it was 2 weeks ago. She becomes a meme.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, she has no idea what meme means.
Right.
Because you're a meme, ma'am. She goes, what's a meme, ma'am? No, not a meme, ma'am. It's just a meme, ma'am.
Then she orders for people to take it off the internet.
Yeah. Can't we just get this removed from the internet? Very funny. But I thought of Beam because the guy says, comedy songs are never funny. And one of the guys on the Veep staff says, I have three words for you. Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
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 To which
I'm always happy.
The guy
always happy.
Responds something that I can't say in response. It's like S.L. Esovic is what he said.
Comedy songs are the mark of a douchebag. You're wrong. You know why? Three words. Weird Al Yankovic.
And that's where I let that clip end.
Yeah. Then the other guy comes back and goes, S.L. Esovic.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah. Then he was wrong.
It was funny. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ted McGinley. Ted's one of those actors who has been around for, I don't know, 30 years? 40
something
years?
Like that. 40,
always working,
yeah.
Always working, this cat.
Mm-hmm.
Good-looking guy.
He's on the final episode of every TV show.
He is. He's the...
oddly enough.
He is the death knell for most sitcoms and other shows that he's been on, but very talented guy. 55 years old today. Guitarist Tom Morello. Speaking of talents. Audioslave, of course, has worked with Rage. 49 years old. Manny Ramirez, former Los Angeles Dodger. Former Major League Baseball player. Now I believe he's playing in a women's softball league.
I'm not sure
somewhere
about that.
In Southeast Asia. He is 41 years old. And CeeLo Green, Gnarls Barkley fame, Goody Mob, of course, NBC's The Voice.
39 years old to celebrate. I understand he's going under the knife for a arm transplant. They're going to take both of him and make one good normal arm. Both of his arms. 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning is Friday.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
Tomorrow morning is Friday, so we have the movie beat. We also have Kevin Smith in the studio.
Wow.
We have that guy. Kevin and Bean employee Brad Williams on the show tomorrow. We have Nick Willenda, who is going to walk across the Grand Canyon on a tightrope.
That's dumb.
We will tell him that.
All right, good.
It does seem like he's the guy who should have grown up and maybe stayed out of the family business. Because haven't they lost a lot of Willendas throughout the years, Ralph?
Most of the Willendas have become something that only a sponge can lift.
Right.
Yes, that is true.
Like, how do you see your dad or your uncle or your grandfather, whoever has gone, in a painful death?
Yes.
How do you go, yes, that's for me?
They should change their family name to the Plummeters, actually. That's how many of them have gone.
And the lead singer of 30 Seconds to Mars, Jared Leto, on the program tomorrow morning.
It must have been a moment of party.
What? Moment of party.
All new Kevin and Bean Show.